much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
From Sony Pictures Studios, it's America's Game. Ladies and gentlemen, here are the stars of our show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Gather around, everybody. Gather around, everybody. What time is it? It's a showtime. What time is it? It's a showtime.
Who wants to see what he's going to do? I do.
Because I'm going to do it.
He's going to do it.
I'll do it.
Got to do it.
Let's do it.
It's honestly time to do it.
Yeah, we're about to.
Hi, Allie. I heard you have a big head. Can I brush your hair sometime?
And now.
I don't know why they make it so dark. Why did they set the clocks? They screw up all the time. Make it darker when it should be lighter.
Our feature presentation.
Remember yesterday when you asked me if I was wearing a vest?
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
How about today? Vest today?
No.
Still no vest.
Yeah, t-shirt, oddly enough.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Changing it up.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 16th of November.
Allie, how you feeling?
Great. How about you?
Last day of work, right?
Woohoo!
Now, are you going to give it 110%
today
because you know this could be your last day before vacation? Or have you already checked out and we can look to you for nothing today?
It is surprising I'm here.
It is a little bit of a
She's going to be gold today, though. Because when she doesn't care, she goes crazy. So she's going to be nothing but gold today.
Thank you.
How did the it was just super, super, super cold in New England a couple of weeks ago. How is it right now?
Oh, it snowed yesterday at my parents' house.
Does that make you happy?
I love snow.
You do. Okay.
I did not expect it this early.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I thought it would be maybe, you know, in the 40s when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
It's dipping into the teens. And they said, hey, bring some boots. And not cute boots.
Did they say, and not cute boots?
Well, it was implied.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Utilitarian
think...
boots is what they're suggesting.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to see a little bit of snow once in a while.
Oh, I love seasons.
It's kind of fun. Right?
I'm in. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to, you know, live in it and commute in it and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be fun.
Sure.
So I like to see pictures of it.
Yeah?
That's about it.
All right.
I don't need ever to dip below, say, 65.
Okay.
I'm good
I get
that.
It. Yeah.
I grew up in Phoenix, so.
Right. Well, yeah. I grew up here.
Yeah.
But still, yeah. Love to wear a scarf. Kevin.
Yeah, me too. That's true. And a vest.
Some
both.
Cute. Well, you in a scarf and a vest.
Right?
That screams holidays
that is,
to me.
That's my look, and that's the holiday look.
Yes.
Right? My wife says the same thing, by the way. Sometimes she complains. She's like, I want to wear a coat.
Yes.
I have cute coats.
I get it.
So
I get it.
Hey, yeah, we got a big show today. A lot of stuff coming up. But I have two stories to get us started with. Both involve McDonald's. Now, McDonald's seems to get – there seems to have a lot of problems in the news with people throwing tantrums or fighting through the drive-thru or something like that. I'm trying to figure out why. Is it because there's lots of McDonald's?
I would guess way more customers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of customers, yeah. I guess. So just but the odds are that mm-hmm. you're going to run into some crazies. And the drive, and a lot of people go to McDonald's when they're drunk. I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah,
sure. When you're drunk, as I understand it, nothing beats McDonald's, right? Well, there are two stories in the news here. One of them is a little bit confusing for me. This is a woman who's caught on surveillance video in Columbia, Maryland, and there's surveillance video of her climbing through the drive-through window around 1 a.m. last Sunday.
Okay.
She leans through the window. She's still in her car, and she leans through the McDonald's drive-through window, steals a soda cup that's right there, you know, by where the drive-through is, and fills it up on the machine, which is very awkward for her to be able to do from inside her car.
I mean, props.
Yeah, she
sounds
seems very
tough.
Limber.
Right.
Okay, so I have to guess... And they say in the article it's unclear whether the McDonald's was open or closed. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, but if the drive-thru window is unlocked to the point where she can open it, I have to assume the McDonald's is open, right?
Yeah, or it would be locked,
Okay. But then what happens next seems to counter that because then she climbs all the way into the drive-thru on the inside of the restaurant and walks around the store for a couple of minutes and steals other stuff, more food.
Oh.
Again, if it's closed, there aren't boxes of food, I would think, right?
Hmm.
So, why was
she broke? Maybe it was closed and she broke the window and got in.
Yeah. All right. She also steals a purse and a drink.
Purse. Wow.
Yes. Now, is there a purse there if the restaurant is closed?
No.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
Again, ask the right questions when you're writing the article, people who write the articles. Anyway, there's a surveillance video, and they are offering a $500 reward to try to find her. She did not climb out through the window, by the way, but she fled through a different door, which I guess that could be open or closed because she could probably open that door from the inside and then walk out and get back into her car. So that's thing one that happened at McDonald's.
Here's the problem, Bean, is that I think most reporters who get that assignment, lady crawled in through the window of McDonald's, doesn't care about the story and doesn't want to really do a good job like you need.
Yeah, I do require a lot of my journalists. That's true. And thing two that happened at McDonald's, and I want to say this one happened in Australia. This guy has been charged by police for driving under the influence of alcohol. He's 30 years old. He shows up, and how many times have we seen McDonald's-related stories that start like this? He is angry because of what he wants is not available at the time that he is there.
Yeah.
Kevin, I bet you've gotten into a million conversations where people were, you've been there at 10:35 and you wanted breakfast, and they were like, "So sorry, can't do it."
Yeah,
right?
worse, 10:31.
Yeah.
And you go, come on, there's got to be something still laying around.
I need just a stray hash brown. This is the best.
I mean, I understand probably why they have to cut it off so that people don't do that for the next hour.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And at some point they have to, I guess, I never worked at McDonald's, but I guess they have to switch over the grill to a different mode to start making hamburgers and stuff. So he became angry when he was told by the drive-thru staff that there were no chicken nuggets on the breakfast menu at 4:50 a.m. on Saturday. He wanted chicken nuggets. They don't offer them at that time of day, right?
Right. No.
The article says he did a loop of the drive-thru four times and ordered 200 hash browns on the second trip, totaling $230.
Okay.
Oh, you're not going to sell me chicken nuggets? Well, then sell me 200 hash browns.
He'll show them.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Why he had to go through the drive-thru four times, I don't know, because it says that he ordered the 200 hash browns on the second trip. So then why did he leave and come back through the drive-thru again?
They weren't ready. So he had to pick them up.
Police were called to the McDonald's where the man was allegedly found still waiting for his hash browns in his car, intoxicated. So do you think what happened is the McDonald's person at the drive-thru thought, well, this guy clearly isn't going to pay for $230 for hash browns, and he looked drunk. So let's just call the police on him? Maybe?
I assume so, especially if he went four times. Something's off.
Something is definitely off, yeah. So as I mentioned,
I've gone three, but four is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's overkill.
He was charged with driving while intoxicated. His driver's license suspended. He faces court on November 30th. And it's also funny to me that he was in the mood for chicken nuggets. What was the thought process that led him to 200 hash browns?
I don't know.
A lot of questions.
Don't have
a lot of questions in the McDonald's world today.
I feel like, Bean, you should start being a reporter.
Yeah.
You should start being a reporter and take the smaller story, the better. Because those people just don't care about those stories, and then really do like 1,000 pages on that McDonald's story.
Be the light for new reporters coming up through the ranks. Like, they can really look to you and be like, that guy is thorough.
Exactly.
I feel like my stories would never be finished, though.
I don't have any more questions after reading that story.
Really.
The problem is there's a deadline, usually, that they have to turn it in by 11 p.m. or something to get it published or something.
You could do that.
And I think the problem with me doing that job is my stories would never end.
Yeah,
I'd never
true.
Be ready to publish because now I need to know everything about this guy, like his background, his parents, and his history, and his genealogy, and
yeah,
his
I'm just gonna go ahead and say you don't need to know all that.
Well, I have a lot of questions.
Okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You want to know how I feel about you? Boo. Boo on you.
would you like to take that back? On the show today.
Good batch.
Good batch. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, we have a lot to atone for.
Chip is shaking her head and looking at the floor.
Well, Chip's the one that has to mark them,
capture them,
and then pull them, and then send them to me. So her job sucks for that reason. Plus, she has to go through your tweets, so then she should get hazard pay. So anyway, would you like to take that back on the show today? We've also got Luke Robitaille from the LA Kings.
Fantastic.
Talking about the food drive that's going on tonight and Saturday day. That's coming up. We've got comedian Brian Regan on the show today. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays. We're going to check in with Dr. Drew. We've got your tickets for this incredible The U2 Experience. This is a unique thing because we literally, as a radio station, have five pair of tickets. That's it.
Yeah.
and we're giving them away one per day this week. So it's a pair of passes to an exclusive pre-release listening party with U2 in support of their new album, Songs of the Experience. So that's coming up this morning. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well. So we'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Right out of the top of the hour, I'm going to bring you a story about a petition in Utah to change a high school mascot, and you won't believe the reason why. You won't believe
it.
Won't believe the reason why.
First, though, Ralph's here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on, my friend?
Is their mascot the Utah Racists? Their guy running around in a white sheet?
That would be
carrying a tiki torch?
A little more understandable than what this mascot is, that the man is demanding that his kids don't have to go to a school with that mascot.
Oh, I see. I'm getting a sense this is PC gone wild. I'll be listening. I'll tell you that much. I'm going to tune in to that.
Because you won't be able to understand it.
I won't believe it.
Right?
And I want to believe it, and I want to hear it. Man, Bean's a good seller. It's got me hooked. Usually right now I go over and listen to the Baker Boys, but now I'm just going to stick around and listen to Bean. It's a good story. Mattel has reportedly turned down an offer by Hasbro to take over the company. Hasbro was trying to gobble them up. Mattel said, mm-mm.
That's our official comment?
From now, they will stay separate. That would have been a juggernaut of toydom if those two had joined together. Right? That thing would be happening, whatever that just was.
That was them trying to gobble them up.
Imagine Barbie and G.I. Joe together.
Right?
Boning. Right?
I don't think that's the point.
Oh.
Boners.
When I was a kid, it was the point.
It was? Okay.
Did you have sisters?
No.
Just brothers.
Yeah.
So you never had a chance to have your G.I. Joe bang a Barbie?
No.
Oh, my G.I. Joes were so happy.
Did I miss out?
You did.
I had unhappy G.I. Joes?
Apparently. Because my G.I. Joes got some.
They always seemed a little sad.
Exactly. Because they hang around with a bunch of dudes. A big sausage fest at your house. My G.I. Joe would drive his Jeep over to Barbie's dream house while Ken was out. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Kung Fu grip, baby. Sometimes I see why the terrorists hate us. Jennifer Lopez has been seen out and about with the latest and greatest in celebrity accessories.
Uh-oh.
It is a one-of-a-kind Starbucks cup.
One-of-a-kind?
Yes. There's a woman named Tanika Moore who makes these one-of-a-kind blinged-out Starbucks cups. Where she takes the Starbucks cup and then she will adorn it with Swarovski crystals and gems. And each one is a one-of-a-kind creation.
For a coffee cup?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's very obviously still a Starbucks cup. It's not like that's used as the base and then it becomes this piece of art. It looks like a Starbucks cup that has crystals and bling stuck to it.
Okay.
And she got hers for the low, low price of $585.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And her boyfriend, Alex Rodriguez, he splurged on a little lower end variety. That set him back just $495. So you see photos of them this week all over town drinking out of their blinged out Starbucks cups. And at what point do you have too much money if you're spending $600 on a Starbucks cup that's been decorated with crystals?
Just well ridiculous. Before that point.
Yes, well before that point.
That's the kind of conspicuous consumption? Is that what they call it?
That's exactly what it's called, yes.
And everybody knows how wealthy they are. It's not like they need to prove it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just be cool.
Just be cool,
that's
you guys.
Bean's advice.
Just be cool. dial it down some.
Like, you don't need gold flake toilet paper. You know, and there's some things you just don't need to adorn. You can just use the basic versions, and that's just fine for everybody.
Yeah. Look, if you want
to listen to Bean's life motto, just be cool.
Just be cool.
How hard is that?
Right?
Everyone?
Look, I get that, and, you know, maybe it's environmentally friendly to not want to reuse a new paper cup every time you go to Starbucks.
They got plastic ones.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. They sell them right there at Starbucks.
Get something for $5. It works just as well for your coffee.
This sexual harassment thing, I know people are probably tired to hear me talk about it every day, but every day there's a new story. It's insane. Natasha Henstridge, lovely and talented actress. You probably remember her best as the lead in the film Species.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was talking this week about the fact that she was
not only sexually assaulted by Brett Ratner, who forced her to perform a sex act on him in the 1990s, but also Harvey Weinstein as well. She got sexually attacked by both men. And as many women have said, Weinstein pleasured himself in front of her at the Sundance Film Festival is when this happened to her. But I can't imagine how devastating it must be. First time you carry that with you for the rest of your life. Imagine being in the second situation and then you realize it's happening all over again.
Yeah.
It must be just terrifying and beyond disturbing.
And I keep thinking, every time another one comes out, look at how many of these women are on the record now. Can you imagine how many more there are?
These are the women who have a voice, who people, these stories will be reported because we know them, because they've been in TV shows or movies or whatever. What about all of the unknown actresses and wannabe actresses and models and waitresses and all the other scores of women who have been the victims of these men that will never hear their stories because there's no platform, there's no Today Show, there's no Good Morning America, there's no LA Times that wants to print their story.
They have to figure out a way to get this guy into jail, don't they?
Yeah. Or a bag in the desert. Just saying. Sometimes things happen to people. Accidents happen.
Right.
And Terry Crews was on Good Morning America yesterday. Star of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was open and talked about the fact that he was sexually assaulted by the longtime head of the William Morris Endeavor Agency's motion picture group. Adam Vennett is his name. He said he was at a party and this guy came up to him and started to squeeze and massage his genitals.
At a party.
Yeah. And Terry Crews said he said, I felt emasculated, objectified, I was horrified. I went over to Adam Sandler and said, come get your boy. What's his problem? Because he was his agent at the time. And Crews says he filed a report with the LAPD. And Vennett is now on leave from the agency as William Morris Endeavor investigates this case. But it's not just women. Sometimes it's men, too. But that's a... I don't think Terry Crews would be the guy I would try that on.
No.
For fear of being pulverized. But Terry's not that guy. Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Helgenberger. Remember her?
Sure.
CSI,
sure.
China Beach? Why am I doing this with my voice?
Not sure.
She's 59 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal turns 40. And Saturday Night Live's Pete Davidson. Oh. The comic stylings of Pete Davidson.
Is he the one you love so much?
I look forward to every week just to see him come out on Weekend Update and say how depressed he is and why isn't he in more sketches.
He only plays himself, Kevin. That's the weird thing about Pete Davidson. I don't really understand his purpose there on SNL.
I don't know how he got on that show, but he's 24. Maybe that's how he got on the show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are continuing to give away tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show every morning at 9 a.m. and throughout the rest of the day at the top of the hour from 9 to 6 p.m. You can win your tickets. The shows are the 9th and the 10th at the Forum. When I saw the headline, Petition Works to Change Utah High School Mascot, I automatically assumed it was going to be another story about a high school team called the Indians or somebody like that.
Redskins, something like that.
That's what I figured would happen. That's not the case at all. And I think you guys are going to be surprised. This story takes place in Farmington, Utah. Allie, you used to live in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with Farmington at all?
Sure.
Small town?
Yeah.
I've been to Farmington, New Mexico. Not that it's relevant, but
that
I've never been to Farmington,
Utah. That doesn't help really at all.
But let's find out why.
Kevin, you been to any Farmingtons?
I haven't.
No?
And
okay.
You know what? If I had and it wasn't in Utah, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Okay.
Wouldn't have mentioned it.
Right.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's find out what the mascot is that has so many up in arms.
Well, Bob and Hope, this high school in Farmington is slated to open in the fall of 2018. But before students even walk the halls, some parents are worried about bullying. And it's all because of a mascot.
You guys ready?
Bullying,
you guys ready to find out
mascot.
What this horrible, awful name is for the college, for the high school football team? You ready?
Yes. Chosen by the students.
I personally love the Phoenix.
It's the Utah Phoenix, you guys. Their mascot will be the Phoenix, the bird that rises from the ashes in Greek mythology.
Okay.
The Phoenix.
Is this part of the same story where the parents were worried about
Go
bullying?
Phoenix. Yes.
Wait.
This is it.
The Phoenix.
Yes.
Bullying.
How dare you? How dare you say that word out loud in front of my child?
Ugh.
Phoenix.
What?
I voted for it when the option came out.
Farmington High School selected the mythological figure of the Phoenix as their new mascot.
The Phoenix is a bird that rises from its own ashes and comes to life again.
A mascot with a positive message.
They have the potential for, after games they've lost, to rise up to the occasion and win the next one.
But not everybody is focused on that message.
All right, guys.
Like the man backing up his truck.
Right?
any thoughts? Anything coming to your mind here? Not everyone says yes to this message about the Phoenix. Are we still confused?
I still can't figure out why
anyone can complain about the Phoenix?
Well, you said bullying, so that doesn't lend to this. But if it's some animal rights person that's like, it was a burned bird.
That's a great question.
It's no crazier than the truth.
Actually, I've got kids that'll go to this school, and that's a big part of it. Is that I don't want I don't want it to be a joke. I don't want it to be a laughing stock.
Kyle Fronten started a petition after realizing the plural of Phoenix is Phoenuses, which sounds pretty similar to a part of the male anatomy.
Ladies and gentlemen,
penis.
Because if the plural of Phoenix is Phoenuses.
Penis.
That's how you plural words like that end in an X. Like index is indices, same thing. So Phoenuses is
I would have never known that.
Never.
That's awesome.
And how often are you gonna use the plural of the Phoenix though? Why would you ever? Why wouldn't it just be Go Phoenix?
Penis.
Go Phoenix is what he's saying. So he's very upset.
Wow.
I don't want my kids being referred to as Phoenixes in high school. And so I, had a conversation with the district and wanted to show the district that there's actually support.
The petition is more than 2,600 signatures with comments like...
Okay.
The petition is 2,600.
Like, this guy isn't just a lone wolf out there. Being crazy. How did he get thousands of people to get behind him and line up for this? Who's ever going to call them Phoenixes?
I doubt anyone ever would have.
I think if it hadn't been for this parent, nobody would have ever even thought about it. Nobody ever even would have known that that's how you plural Phoenix, right?
Wow.
Yeah, they would have just said, Go Phoenix.
Go Phoenix, right.
There are plenty of choices for mascots that do not have, although unintended, these negative implications.
Come on, you guys. What about the negative implications of the plural of a phoenix?
I am in shock.
You're gobsmacked, right?
Utah. This is nuts.
It is crazy.
Please change it now. But these Beaumont seniors, who would be attending Farmington High next year if they weren't graduating, think the petition is the problem.
I feel like they've created a problem where there was no problem originally.
Thank you, student, by the way. Thank you, 17-year-old who has a lot more sense than this dad who created the petition.
So we do use the mascots in their plural form, but... just saying Phoenix even sounds amazing.
And the Davis School District agrees.
The petition creator is entitled to his opinion. We don't share his opinion.
All right, so the school district.
Is so refreshing.
Yeah.
They don't cave because there's one dude who hates that idea. Mm-hmm.
But with 2,600 other people behind him signing the petition, though. I mean, I don't know how big this high school is, but that has to be a healthy percentage of the student body, I would think, whose parents signed that thing. So at least this guy they spoke to said, no, we disagree.
The principal of Farmington High says they'll be using the singular form of Phoenix, which was the overwhelming favorite of students. The second and third place for the mascot was the Farmers and the Eagles.
By the way, go Farmers is so much worse, isn't it?
That's also terrible. And all Eagles suck, right?
Yeah, Eagles are the worst. Yeah.
Oh, wait. I will say this. To see a bunch of Phoenixes rising... is beautiful.
You've got a point.
You've been to some good parties, huh, Allie?
Yeah.
Jim Rome, Dr. Drew, and hilarious comedian Brian Regan all coming in on today's Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I guess this is where Dad brings in the paddle and we just have to accept our punishment.
It's not really Dad as much as it is we hold each other accountable. Now, we try to be funny. Sometimes it doesn't work. And this gives us a chance to take it back.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
All right, bring it on.
So that's a bit. seems so resigned, like he knows it's all him.
Defeated, man.
Let me tell you something.
Rail against that dying light.
Let me tell you something, Bean. You are in one.
That's all.
Of them.
Just one?
All right, then I'm really going to enjoy this.
Only one of them. The first is Mr. Ralph Garman. We were talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z might be buying the Houston Rockets, but then that fell through.
I bet the Rockets were so disappointed, too. They were probably pretty excited about having Beyonce buy their team.
Because
then they'd probably be hanging out with Beyonce. She'd be going to a lot of games. Who didn't want to hang out with Beyonce? It'd be fun.
Plus, if they won a championship, she could put a ring on it.
Oh, my God. Is that the whole point of the story?
I hope so. Would you like to take that back? Are you kidding? No
way!
You're
happy you made the kids?
No way I'm taking that back!
Bean has the sound effect of the kids,
mm-hmm.
so he plays them all the time.
Championship rings!
Yeah, I think I'm down with not taking that.
Thank you so much.
I think I'm down with that.
I'm offended it's even in the file.
Ralph has a talent. Most of us just throw it away, but mm-hmm. Ralph will take his sweet-ass time, and it could take 15 minutes, but by the time he gets there, most of the time.
Called foreplay, Kevin. Look into it.
This would be Allie.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, there was a woman claiming to be related to Salvador Dali.
Well, the tests are back for Maria Pilar Abel Martinez. And it turns out Salvador Dali is not her father.
Well, she can shave now.
I'm going to sit on that.
Diagram that.
I'm going to see. I'm going to draw. I'm going to get a sketch for myself. See if I can
send that to the second floor and see if we can get them to make anything out of that.
Get any prints off that. See if they can make some prints off that one so we know who to arrest.
Dynamic mustache.
That one. So you're thinking this woman grew a...
Or she just had one. That's what led her to believe she... It wasn't my best.
You're not helping yourself.
Nope.
So file then?
Oh, yeah.
I mean that.
Oh,
yeah.
All the file. Would you like to
take that back? Wow. All the file.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have
like a SWAT team showed up at a crime scene for that one.
Yeah.
When you have to explain it for 10 minutes.
I mean, a lot of people... Would you like to take that back? Might not know what he looks like. Would you like to take that back? Why his daughter would have the same mustache. I'll go ahead and take that back.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, good. Here Allie is talking about...
Oh.
No, this isn't you,
okay.
though. But you are talking about Jamie Foxx's dating life, and this is Ralph again.
Something I do like a lot about Jamie Foxx is he's so private about things. They've supposedly been dating for 5 years.
Yeah.
I respect that he's not blabbing about it, that he's not tweeting about it. He keeps his private life very private.
Yes. Although there was that one girl, he wasn't saying she was a gold digger.
You're stupid.
But no, I don't think he said she was spending any time with any broke guys either. Would you like to take that back? See, because he had a would you like to take that back? About
we get it.
The gold digger. Would you like to take that back? No, hell no, I'm not taking it back.
Ralph,
no,
for God's sake.
No. Would you like to take that back? No.
I think he's pretty clear.
Asked and answered, Your Honor. Move
on. We had a principal who wanted to come to the Breakfast with Foo Fighters, and mm-hmm. she may have been a little overzealous, in my particular opinion. So mm-hmm. I was questioning this, and this is Bean.
She has been an educator for 35 years in the great state of California.
Or has she?
Mm. And she uses the Foo Fighters in so many ways in her class.
Or
and
does she?
I invited Annie to join us on the show.
Or Annie, did you?
Annie, how are you? Are you okay?
I am very well. Good morning, everyone.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
Bean.
Did you just ask Annie if she was okay?
Yes, he did.
So much fire.
Yes.
Would you like to take that back? I'm gonna say no. I don't think I'm gonna take that back.
Really?
I think I'm fine with Annie.
Really?
Are you okay?
Really?
It's not like you have the opportunity to do that very often.
That was like a terrorist attack one too. He like snuck in and he just set up the device.
While we're talking to someone else so we couldn't call him on it.
Yeah.
I'm not disappointed. I think I'm gonna stand up for that one. Sorry.
You would.
All right. Next is Allie. Oddly enough, we were talking about ELO.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Coming back.
So have they been touring, just not America?
No, they've been apart for a long time. Jeff Lynne, of course, that
huge solo career. He was one of the Traveling Wilburys, produced a lot for a lot of other artists.
But still the same ride at Disneyland?
I'm confused by you
the
now.
Captain ELO? At Disneyland?
Wow!
Whoa!
I don't think Captain EO's even a thing.
It's
at
not
Disneyland
even.
Anymore.
It wasn't great. Real tired. Would you like to take that back?
when Muggs says, "Wow!"
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
listen, did it get us to stop talking about ELO? And for that, should it be celebrated?
But it was a spike strip for the whole show.
Yeah, it wasn't
the whole show.
Like I said, wasn't
just the topic.
Not great.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and take that back.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
And lastly is me.
What?
Have you ever been in the file before,
Kevin? I mean, I have, but I don't particularly like this kind of humor.
Uh-huh.
But everyone was playing a game, and I tried to play along, and it wasn't, may not have been the best comedy. Ralph's doing the Showbiz Beat. He's talking about the Handmaid's Tale show on Hulu.
Well, Hulu has announced production has started on season 2 of their Emmy-winning drama, The Handmaid's Tale. It's underway and will be returning to the network April of next year.
That Elizabeth Moss, man, what a great actor she is.
Yes.
Because I watched that second season of Top of the Lake. I watched her second season of Top of the Lake, and that was amazing, and she's
it's
so
not
great
a show.
In it.
It isn't a thing.
Top of the Lake is a real
not
show.
A
it's
show.
Great.
I watched her on Side of the Barn, which was
How
also
was
a great show. Yeah.
That is not a show.
That's on
Top of the Lake is real.
That's on Klakow.com. It's another streaming service. You haven't heard
Kevin,
of
you
it,
see any right? Elizabeth Moss shows
seen,
that we don't know
have
about?
Have you seen Side of the Barn?
I have not seen no? Side of the Barn, no, but I have seen A Floor of the Roof.
Really?
All that time. That's what, yeah, he's on the
he's
floor.
He's on the ground.
He's on the floor.
That's the best one.
That was going in his brain the whole time.
That was your Floor of the Roof.
I mean,
wow.
You guys haven't seen it? Would you like to take that back? Here's what I'm going to say.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
My policy is always, if I'm in the file, take it back. But this is on you guys for asking me to improv. When you ask me to improv,
you're damn straight.
You get what you get.
Kevin,
okay.
Right.
So I'm not taking it back.
That's on us. That's our bad.
It was incredibly stupid.
That's on us. That's our...
Well, the holidays are here, you guys. I don't know if you've have you been to a store lately? You've been to Target? You've seen their Winter Wonderland they have in the Target?
I have been there, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty crazy. And as is the case every time this year, every year around
every
this time
this year.
Would be a better way to say it. They have come out with a list of the most dangerous toys. And I am always surprised every year that toy makers are able to bring things to market that have the same problems over and over and over again. I mean, you know that if you have a toy that you're making for a one-year-old or a two-year-old or a three-year-old and it has little pieces that can break off, you know that's a choking hazard. So how is it possible that they still keep making these toys and getting them to market?
That's a good question that they don't learn. And no one learns from even just last year. It's not ancient history. It's every single year.
I mean, for instance, the pull-along pony has a 19-inch cord on it that a child could be strangled with.
Oh, dear.
I mean, why would you make a toy for a child that age if you know something like that's going to happen? I was very surprised to see fidget spinners on the list. Haven't they sold hundreds of millions of fidget spinners in this country?
They pretty much have, yeah.
Yeah, so how is that now a choking hazard? You know, maybe somebody should have thought of that before it came to market. So we asked, just because we have a lot of listeners who'll be Christmas shopping for their children, we want to make sure everybody stays safe over the holidays. We asked Dave if we could line somebody up, and I think we have Dr. Julius Miller on the line. He is from Worlds Against Toys Causing Harm. Their organization is WATCH. Dr. Miller, thank you for joining us, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here. Don't you know?
Well, it's great to have you. Can you answer my question?
Yes, I can.
Yes, please do.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, the question is, how are we at this same spot as we head into every single holiday season where toys continue to be made that are obviously dangerous?
That's what those of us here at Watch would like to know. We wish there would be a Christmas where we could stop making this list, where manufacturers would understand how dangerous these toys are for children, but they keep making the same mistakes over and over. Some glaring, glaring, dangerous toys still released on the marketplace, don't you know?
Well, I mentioned the pull-along pony and also the fidget spinner. Those are two good examples of what we're talking about, right?
Yes, and you saw on our list, I'm sure, the Wonder Woman sword, the action sword, battle-action Wonder Woman sword.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's just a recipe for disaster, asking kids to swing around a sword is a bad idea, I think.
It does seem like that's not safe.
But we have some toys we didn't release on the list this year that are equally as dangerous and inappropriate.
I feel like you should have put those on the list.
Well, it's just, we only have so much room. There's okay, so many toys.
Okay.
That's why I'm here talking to you.
I got
to
you.
Try to get the word out.
I got
that
you.
Makes sense.
Wonder Woman's a popular character. You know, lots of characters inspire toys for children that just aren't safe. Like the Thor hammer battle set. It's just two hammers in a box, and you just try to beat each other up with them.
Oh, that doesn't sound safe.
That sounds dangerous.
That sounds way dangerous.
The Spider-Man web shooter underpants.
Oh.
Come on now.
Nope.
It shoots webs from...
I don't think so.
It shoots webs out of the crotch of the underpants.
Bad.
Inappropriate for children.
I would think so. Is.
The Scooby-Doo doggy lipstick.
Oh, no, come on, Dr. Miller.
We don't want little girls playing with this makeup set.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Celebrities inspire lots of toys for kids that are inappropriate.
Right.
Like the Ben Affleck Happy Hour flask. Oh. We don't need that for children. It's unnecessary.
Kids, no.
The Kim Kardashian butt pumper.
Oh.
It's two giant suction cups that children put on their ass cheeks, and it suctions them until they're huge.
No.
For kids, though?
Yes, the problem is it works. Now we have kids with giant asses running around our schools. Very dangerous. And, of course, Gwyneth Paltrow's goop playset.
Oh, the goop playset.
Just a jar of goop.
Oh.
We have no idea where it comes from.
Oh.
But we're afraid.
You should be. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
NHL Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille joins us.
Yes, I like to play hockey.
We've had him on many times.
And we have lots of food to get together tonight for people.
He doesn't sound like that really at all.
Yeah, and then we'll hip check you into the boards after you give us a can of soup.
Well, we'll find out what Luke's got going on tonight at the Kings game. First, though, Rob's here with the show. He's been on a Thursday morning. What's happening?
Well, we have finally a release date for the sequel to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
All right.
They just released it, along with a photo of the cast. I don't know if you guys saw that first film.
I did, and I loved it.
It was awesome.
Yep.
And I'm not a big Potterphile. I don't know much about that world. I didn't see all the films. Didn't really capture me the way it did everyone else on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But this Fantastic Beasts movie I loved. And they are making a sequel called Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, who you may remember was the evil wizard played by... it was Johnny Depp, really. Spoilers. In that first film. But he looked like Colin Farrell through most of the film because he disguised the way he looked so he could disappear.
Right.
But then they uncover him. So Johnny Depp is back in this film, along, of course, with Eddie Redmayne, who is the star, as Newt Scamander. And now we meet a young Albus Dumbledore, who, of course, looms large in the Harry Potter legend. But we see him as a young man played by Jude Law. And they released a photo of the cast. You get to see what he looks like for the first time. So
this sounds great.
Yeah. It's going to be a year from today it'll be out.
All right.
1 year from today.
So a full year. Huh.
So November 16th, 2018 is the release date. So
calendar.
Make sure you circle that. And but you can see the picture now online. It's pretty cool to see the cast all together in character. An investigation into Kevin Spacey's conduct while he was the artistic director of London's historic Old Vic Theatre has now resulted in 20 new testimonies of alleged inappropriate behavior by Kevin Spacey.
Wow.
These were all young men who were in the unique position of being at the Old Vic while a Hollywood star was at the helm of running that program, and many of them, as you can imagine, tried to work closely with Kevin Spacey, and their efforts were met often with sexual harassment and unwanted sexual advances. So now they're currently investigating, and boy, these stories, the more you turn over rocks, just the more horrific it gets, and this is no exception to that. But now Spacey apparently is now in one of those rehab centers, right?
Yeah.
Where he's gonna get all cured, right?
Same one as Weinstein.
And then he's going to do his apology tour and then try to get back into the business. I don't know. It just seems like when it comes to trying to have sexual relationships with underage kids,
especially if it's a pattern over what seems like decades. Yeah.
I don't think a week in the desert is going to do anything for Kevin Spacey. I can't imagine how you say, oh, you know what? Now I do see that maybe it's wrong to try to have sex with kids. Maybe. You know what? You're right. Now that you brought it to my attention, maybe I do have a problem. It just seems like, really? This is now, you're just realizing now this is wrong? Just all rubs me the wrong way. I got bad news everywhere, by the way. Yesterday I find out.
Now what?
Remember how excited I was about the Spice Girls reunion?
Oh, yes. No.
Spice Girls getting back together
no
again?
No one's ever been more excited about anything in life.
Yeah. You know, and because it was all five.
Right.
Getting back together again for a new album and a one-off TV special.
Right.
I was willing to forego the fact it was not going to be a tour, at least not announced at that time.
You were very excited about the new album, though.
Well, they mentioned yesterday Victoria Beckham came forward and said she's not participating.
Oh, come on.
No posh. What no posh.
No posh, no peace. Now, she's always been the one, right?
Yes, she's the one who always drags her Louis Vuitton heels and doesn't want to play with the rest of the girls.
Well, she has a lot of other income streams, right?
Yeah, but still,
you
get together with the old gang and do the thing, and then you can always go back to your BS fashion line.
It's not what
or
she wants. It's
wrapping
what we
your
want.
Husband's ankle because he twisted it walking on a carpet. I got hurt again. I'm sorry I can't play the game of footy because I hurt myself.
Well, that
softest
is disappointing.
Man in sports.
So, was this just all misreported? And she never said she was doing it?
Apparently, indicators were early on that she was willing to go along. And then when they broke the news, she saw the news and balked and said, had her people release a statement saying she was not involved.
I don't like that.
So now we just got 4 out of 5.
Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
I'll tell you what we want, and that's Posh Spice.
Right?
Am I right?
Participating in the reunion.
Ugh. I don't know why I care so much, but...
she's awesome. People still talk about Blake Shelton being named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive for 2017. Comments all over the internet. This is a major big deal, apparently. Comments like, is everyone else dead? Was one I saw.
But is this the worst thing for him? Because literally, it's not his fault. And he's getting nothing but negative backlash.
Yes. Luke Bryan, his good friend and fellow country star, asked publicly, really? Am I being punked about Blake Shelton getting the award? So a lot of people still mocking. Well, just for some perspective, let's look over the past decade of Sexiest Men Alive on People Magazine.
All right.
See if there's anything in common with Blake Shelton. The Rock was last year's.
Okay.
Then David Beckham, Chris Hemsworth, Adam Levine, Channing Tatum, Bradley Cooper, Ryan Reynolds, Johnny Depp, Hugh Jackman, and Matt Damon.
Okay, are all those people dead now?
Nope, they're all still around.
Hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
And are they all white?
All but The Rock, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice try, racist.
The very first Sexiest Man Alive back in 1985. Anybody? Any guesses?
1985. Richard Gere.
No, but a good guess.
Thank you.
I will say Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson was the first Sexiest Man Alive.
What? I got it right and it's right here on my computer?
Stunned by that.
You mean Google's correct when it says Mel Gibson?
I didn't look it up. I was just thinking that was Lethal Weapon year, sure. So I thought maybe Mel Gibson. Yeah. That's all.
29-year-old Mel Gibson was named the Sexiest Man Alive. And he was also named the same this year from Racist Quarterly. That magazine also picked him as Sexiest Man. It's not as popular as the People magazine,
right.
But still, it's quite the honor.
I don't care.
You don't care? Come on. Nicki Minaj is trying to break the internet. Remember Kim Kardashian's...
A lot of bells for Nicki Minaj.
Famous...
She's a very attractive lady.
Famous cover of a Paper magazine where she was shooting the champagne over her head onto her butt.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj is trying to top that with the image on the cover of Paper magazine this year. It is Nicki Minaj and Nicki Minaj and Nicki Minaj. Three versions of her.
Okay.
Engaged in a menage.
Nope.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
A trois. If you will.
Isn't your name like Spanish for a threesome?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Wow.
So it's her literally on her knees in front of herself.
With her tongue out.
Okay.
Oh.
and another one with her from behind. She is over her own shoulder, groping her own breasts.
Huh.
So she gets to
that is
engage
something.
In her own
it's not terrible.
Activity. Oh. Can you hear just the creep dripping off?
There's no
it?
Creepy, I'm just
there
saying.
There was creeping dripping all
it's not
off
terrible.
That.
So much
it's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
I can't be against it.
You can hear your pants down when
not
you say
all.
That.
Not at all.
Absolutely you can. And we're all a little dirtier for having heard it.
Airtight.
No. Not at all. If you could.
Yes.
If you could clone yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have sex with yourself?
No.
Why?
Because look at me. No.
But it's just you.
Right. But no. I would want someone hotter. I mean, you could pick anyone, right?
No, you can't.
You could
that's
just clone
point.
Yourself.
No.
It's just by
I'm
definition,
saying,
cloning is
no,
it's
I'm
you.
Saying no.
I'm saying you can't just pick anyone.
My answer is no.
Go, hey, Harvey Weinstein, just can't go out and just have sex with whoever you
that
want
would
to.
That be my choice.
Okay.
Then
you
no.
can.
Then
but
the answer
if
no.
you have yourself, then you can do anything you want with yourself, and it's kind of cool because you keep your own secrets, right?
Mm. I'm going with no on that one.
Hmm. What about you, Allie?
Absolutely.
There you
like,
go.
Like, I don't know if I'd ever leave
you
the house.
You wouldn't leave the house, right?
Yeah.
You could do whatever you want all
for
day
sure.
long, forever.
Yeah.
Airtight.
Awesome. Whatever fantasy you have, you can make it come true because it's yourself and you have the same fantasy. And it wouldn't even be gay, Kevin.
It's, I just, I don't
because
find myself, I'm not attracted
it's the same
to me.
Thing. Well, keep your hands off yourself then. Okay. I've seen you in the parking lot.
Oh, jeez.
Right?
And not in my car.
Just in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
We all are averting our eyes, just walking to our cars.
What's Karen doing by that tree?
My dad.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Helgenberg is 59 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 40. And SNL's Pete Davidson. Oh, funny, funny man. I call him the laughter machine, Pete Davidson.
Mm. I've never heard you say that.
That's because I never will. Okay. He's 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Swinging the history of the league.
Luke Robitaille.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores!
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores! Luke Robitaille!
Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
The man has an actual statue out in front of Staples Center. Come on, you guys. Let's welcome back to the program the president of business operations for our Los Angeles Kings and NHL Hall of Famer, our friend Luke Robitaille. Hey, Luke.
Hey, how are you?
Great to have you on. Listen, we got a lot of stuff, a lot of business we got to talk to you about, particularly with the LA Kings food drive. But we want to start with something. We were just having a conversation off the air before we went to you on the phone about Ryan Getzlaf, who is going to be out for a couple of months. Puck to the face, may need facial surgery.
Had it.
Puck,
had it. Had surgery.
Yeah. Puck to the face, though, Luke. Tell me about that. That's happened to you a few times, right?
Yeah, that hurts. I don't know if you know that, but it hurts.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I promise you, it hurts.
How many times? Can you count?
For me, I actually remember one in a practice. It just tipped in front of a guy, hit me right in the face. I think the worst for me is I saw one guy taking a slash up from the blue line, and I saw it tip, and at the last second, I was able to turn and hit me on the ear and split my ear in half.
Oh, that sounds so painful.
That was not good. I know I saw Ryan. That's too bad. I mean, I think it hurt him around the eye, and if I'm not mistaken. But it's too bad. I mean, you never want to see that happen, you know.
So what's available in terms of protection, though? Some sort of a visor or something can be worn, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys not in our game. Most of our guys are wearing visors. But Ryan has if you're coming in the league now, you have to wear a visor. That's the new rule. But there's guys that, if you've been in the league, I can't remember what the threshold was, 10 years or plus, you don't have to wear a visor. So Ryan was one of those guys that was in the league long enough. And he never wore a visor, so he wasn't wearing one. So probably looking back, you know, it could have helped him. But
That's sort of a half-hearted rule, isn't it? It's like, you know what? You guys need to wear a visor unless
your grandfather
unless
in.
Your grandfather
but isn't that what they did with helmets exactly. back in the old days, too? You didn't even have to wear a helmet for a while, right?
That's what we did with the helmets. When I came in the league, everyone had to wear a helmet. But if you were grandfathered in, you were okay. So they're doing the same thing. So you could kind of say in 2 or 3 years, everyone will be wearing a visor. I mean, it's tough, though, guys. Like when you're a player, I know you'll say, well, you should wear a visor. But if you're a player, you never wore one. And to start wearing one, it can be a big difference. So so I get it why a guy wouldn't wear it. But, you know, if it were my son, I'd be trying to force him to wear one for sure.
But with the helmets, I mean, we would never have known Ron Duguay's hair. Do you remember that? Oh, so good.
I remember that. And I played with Ron Duguay, and I remember when he fell on his back and knocked his head, too.
What? Why you got to bring us down?
Well, we're talking about head injuries,
for God's sake. No, we're talking about how hot he was and how great his hair was.
All right.
Ron, I was a rookie when he was with us. He's the only player that I saw after warm-up. I went to the bathroom before going on the ice, and he had hairspray. He was there spraying his hair. I was like, oh, boy.
Wow.
This guy's got it down.
All right. Well, we may have gotten a little bit off topic, but our guest is Luke Robitaille here on the Kevin DeBede Show. And, Kevin, why don't you explain why, once again this year, we are so grateful to Luke?
Well, LA Kings, every November, they have a food drive. And this year, it benefits Friends and Helpers, which is the charity that my wife and I run for abused women and children. So Tuesday night, we did it. And then tonight, the Kings are playing the Bruins. So a couple of hours before that, at all the main entrances, you're encouraged to bring a an item that is... you know, like a canned item, something that granola bars, peanut butter jelly, soup, tuna, pancake mix, all that kind of stuff. Okay. And you drop it off. And for every single person that drops off an item, you get a raffle ticket for each individual item. So if you bring 10 items, you get 10 raffle tickets.
Wow.
And then during the game, they'll do a drawing and they'll pick somebody who will win Kings tickets and tickets to the Acoustic Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So that happens tonight, and then it happens also Saturday. There's a 1 o'clock game against the Panthers, and then next Wednesday night against the Winnipeg Jets. So tonight, Saturday, and next Wednesday, bring your food, and it'll help people in need for abused women and children. It's Friends and Helpers. And, Luke, we really appreciate the Kings stepping up and being our partner in this. It's very cool.
Yeah, and if I can't believe you forgot one thing. The listener's going to be mad.
What'd I forget?
So... I think you have an opportunity to. I was talking with our Kings folks. Like, you could buy a ticket, and then some of the money will be donated back to the food drive.
So, oh, how about that?
LA Kings/food drive. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to do a little research. I'm just finding out about that.
Do you talk to your wife?
Didn't know about that at all.
Luke does. Luke talks to Melissa.
Didn't know about that at all, Luke. All right, I'm going to do a little research.
All right, so lakings.com/food drive if you want to buy a ticket for one of these games. So the three that are remaining are Thursday, Saturday, and Wednesday. Go out and support the Kings and also contribute to a great cause, the Friends and Helpers Charity, to raise some food for this holiday season. And you guys have been doing this food drive for a long time. The Kings are one of the organizations, Luke, as you know, that is so involved in so many ways in the community. I mean, you guys are just great neighbors.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, it's important for as an organization that you get involved. But I do believe, too, it's very important for your players to get involved and to know what's going on because they're living their dream. And, you know, anytime they have an opportunity to give back, they should do it because they're very fortunate to do something very special in their life. So, and they can have an impact. I mean, from just saying hello for a kid or getting involved with a food drive. So, this is something as an organization that we take a lot of pride into doing.
All right. Before we let you go, 18 games in, first place in the Pacific Division. How are you feeling about the fall campaign so far, Luke?
Well, we're happy. We're happy with the way we're playing. I mean, like we've had a few injuries. A lot of teams have had injuries, so it's never you can never use that as an excuse. I mean, the last few games were not as happy with the way we played, so we expect a big rebound night tonight. I mean, those are... You know, when you're playing at home, you want to win your games because then you go on these long road trip and it's never easy to be on the road. So it's an important stretch for us where we got a few home games, so we got to start winning. And we're not happy with the last two, but I think we'll be happy with the next two or three.
That sounds good. Luke, I just want to say thank you to you and to the Kings for partnering with us because Kings fans, like the Kevin and Bean fans, when they're asked to help, they step up in a big, big, big way.
Yeah.
It's really humbling to see how much people are willing to do when they're just pointed in the right direction. So thank you for your help, Luke, and thanks to the LA Kings.
Okay, anytime, guys.
All right,
you
take
bet.
Care. Thank
Talk
you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, okay, bye-bye, guys. Bye now.
Dr. Rupinski on the program today, like we do on Thursdays. Also, Jim Rome will be here, and stand by to win your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well. Brian Regan, welcome back.
Hey, hey, how is everybody?
We're good. Great. Right. You were last here right around the time you played Radio City Music Hall, and now we catch you this time the week of Carnegie Hall.
Are there any
other iconic venues that are left for you to conquer in the world of comedy?
I try to do anything that has the word hall at the end of it. Mm. So,
so Arsenio?
Arsenio Hall, and then I'm performing at Seton Hall.
Oh.
Those were two big ones, and obviously, you know, it's a thrill to be able to do this for a living, but to be able to play a place like that every now and then is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Does it stand out as completely different? Like, do you enjoy doing bigger venues, or is it just easier with the rooms that you usually play, kind of because you got a feel for it?
Every room is different. I mean, some rooms are good for music. Like Radio City Music Hall is obviously a wonderful place for music, but it's not necessarily a great comedy room.
Yeah.
Because it's very big and cavernous.
But you have that high-kicking part of the show.
I do the high-kicking.
Right.
I'm like, what better place for me to do my high-kicking than Radio City? So I've got smart people around me. They go, we got to get him into Radio City so he can do the kicking thing.
Right, sure.
How hard is that, though, with a venue that big that you're kind of waiting for the laugh to come back at you? And I mean, hopefully.
Yeah, right. I remember waiting for about 10 minutes and thinking,
no.
I don't think it's coming.
And finally just saying, I'll wait.
I did one joke and I just stood there for an hour going, they told me there was a weird echo, so I'm just going to wait for that laugh. I actually did University of Florida Gator Growl, which is in their football stadium. This was years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it was their big homecoming thing, but they would bring a comedian in as well. And talk about a delayed reaction. Like, you would say something, and then you would hear yourself say that.
Mm-hmm.
You hear this bizarre echo.
It's like watching the national anthem singers in front of the Dodgers game or something. Right?
Yes, exactly. And
that's why I can't figure out how Kevin Hart played that stadium for his movie in Philadelphia, right? He played the where the Eagles played. And he did a whole stadium of comedy. I don't know how you even do that.
That's why I took all the stadiums off my off my calendar.
That was smart.
Very smart.
You
had a lot of them booked, I noticed.
I said, you got to stop booking me in these stadiums and put me in 250-seat rooms.
So Brian's latest special, by the way, is available as of this coming Tuesday, I want to say, right on Netflix?
Yep.
And this was filmed at the Paramount Theater in Denver, and it is the first of two Netflix specials called Nunchucks and Flamethrowers is the name of it. And that title will make sense when you see the special.
There you go. There you go. It's a punchline in one of my jokes, but it's too long of a joke for me to try to do in this context. So all in all, it's probably a bad title because people always say, what does the title mean? And I'm like, I can't say because it's too big and long and clunky.
Netflix has totally changed the game for comedians, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of
money. That's the
I
word.
Feel like they're playing Texas Hold'em, and they have a stack of chips, and they just went, we're all in.
Yeah.
We're
I just feel like
in.
Every Comedy Central executive is jumping off a roof at this point, because Netflix seems to be getting all the specials.
Well, they have Dave Chappelle. They have Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I mean, like, and then, so, you know, for me to sneak my way into that is pretty cool. I'm happy about that. And, they're getting a lot of people to do a lot of specials. I think they release one special a week.
Is that right?
Are you serious?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's right.
I remember at the very beginning of that, the Netflix would just put so much money into stuff. We were like, how are they even going to stay afloat? It didn't make any sense to us as a business, but
it's
the biggest thing in the world.
Well, I know how they do it because I saw what they were paying Chris Rock and Seinfeld and stuff like that, and then I saw what they were paying me. And
I'm going,
I see where they're saving the money.
They have to cut back somewhere.
No, I'm happy with what I got. I don't want somebody out there listening from Netflix going, we're giving him two specials and he's going to badmouth us on the radio.
I've also heard that Netflix kind of lets you do your thing. Like there aren't a lot of notes coming back about what they want, right?
Correct. Yeah, they kind of let you do the creative thing. I mean, I don't really work. I don't do a lot of controversial stuff anyway. So. Mm-hmm. But I hear they're pretty much hands off. They give you your deal and let you do what you want to do.
Well, I am very anti-flamethrower, so I was offended by that joke. I'll tell you that.
But I love nunchucks, so.
Right, right. You take the good and the bad.
That all balances out.
How long have you been doing comedy, Brian?
I don't know how. 1981. I'm going to date myself. I don't care. I started in 1981, so okay. That comes out to about 78
years. 36
years?
Wow. Would 1980s Brian Regan be blown away by the career that you have? Would you have ever imagined back then that you would be at this level?
I don't think so. The club I started at, I worked there. I worked in the kitchen.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I used to cook the burgers for the people in the audience, mm-hmm. and then they would let me go on first. And this is true. So I would always put the burner like way down low because right. I wanted to go on stage and do my time.
Right.
So, you know, the waitresses would come back and say, we need four burgers. I'd put them on the grill. And then I go out and they would introduce me. I'm on stage.
Now it's a race against the clock.
I'm
for the
on
burgers.
Stage and I'm hearing people in the audience talk to their waitress going, do you know when my cheeseburger's going to be ready? They have no idea. They're looking at the cook. They have no idea that the cook is on stage. You're not getting your burger until I wrap up here. But they had no idea.
At any point, did you wrap up early? Like, no, it just got to be too much?
No. And I would always tell the waiter, please tell these people that their burgers are going to be well done because I'm going to be doing some time tonight.
That is, I've never heard a story like that.
Yeah, that is
true. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then after the show, I, you know, would have to take the trash out because I worked there.
Right.
And there was a big dumpster behind the comedy club where I started at. And that was also where the parking lot was. And it was very embarrassing to have the audience who just saw me on stage dumping trash into the dumpster in the back. And they would go, do they make comedians throw the trash out?
They just didn't understand the whole business?
Yeah. And I had to say, well, not the good comedians. The good comedians are in at the bar having a beer, but the comedians like me, yes, we take the trash
out. Now, how long did you have to work as the cook and taking the trash out before they finally said, this guy has something and we're just going to put him on stage?
Well, I went on stage every night while
that?
I worked there.
I know. But
now I take the trash out behind theaters.
I see.
Yeah.
I've moved up.
No. I was there for about 2.5 years, going on every night and just trying to get good enough so I could hopefully go out on the road.
I love that you tell that story a few days after playing Carnegie Hall. I mean, honestly, I mean, you should be very proud of that.
Oh, well.
That's fantastic. Know. Brian Regan is here, by the way. Nunchucks and Flamethrowers is the special this Tuesday, available on Netflix. More with our guest, Brian Regan, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Twitter at Brian Regan Comic. BrianRegan.com. New Netflix special available on Tuesday called Nunchucks and Flamethrowers. We lost a lot of respect for Brian during the break when we found out he was a Dolphins fan. I don't know how we're going to recover from that.
I mean, I think that's punishment enough, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. He has suffered enough.
Yes.
I have a question I forgot to ask you last time you were on, Brian.
Okay.
You were a guest on Jerry Seinfeld's hilarious web series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it always makes it look – now, I know it's set up ahead of time that you know you're going to be doing this interview with Jerry. So the part where he calls you and says, hey, what are you doing? Let's go get coffee. I know that's just for that's just show business stuff. Mm-hmm. But does Jerry know where all the comedians live? Had he been to your house before when he pulled up out in front?
Well, that wasn't at my house.
Yeah, none of them are their houses.
I thought they were.
I don't know if they try to make it look like that. It's very vague. They don't say where they're picking me up. But I had come out to – I live in Vegas, but I had come out to California. He just picked me up at a hotel in Los Angeles.
And a lot of even the brownstones that they use, they aren't their homes. He pretends they are.
He pretends they are.
Yeah.
Oh, see? Trickery.
We're not actually in the same car together.
At
it's
all.
Right. It's all showbiz trickery.
He's
in a vehicle. I'm in another vehicle.
That is one of my favorite episodes of the series, though, because you guys, I don't know what it is, you've known Jerry for a long time, but you guys entertain each other so much. You can tell how much fun you are having just one-upping one another as you tell stories. It's just wonderful.
That's very nice of you know what a lot of people don't I don't think people really fully understand why that works so well is because Jerry Seinfeld is very generous with the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's very funny, obviously. I mean, yeah. You know, he's a huge stand-up comedian, but he laughs.
Yeah.
And a lot of a lot of comedians keep it close to their vest. They want to be the funny person. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he's very generous that way.
He lets you shine.
He lets you be funny, and he just enjoys comedy. And so, like, if he was always trying to one-up you or whatever, it wouldn't work. So he lets you be funny, and he laughs.
He got to watch Jeopardy with Mel Brooks and eat soup. And that's all I want in life. I'm telling you, that is my dream.
That's a hell of a goal.
Thank you,
Good
Kevin.
Luck with that.
Thank you.
I remember watching that.
That was my favorite one. Oh.
And they had like the little TV trays.
Yes.
And they were like just sitting there eating.
Oh.
And there were like people behind coming and helping, you know, serve them their meals and stuff like that. I'm like, is that like the, you know, like you work for years in show business so that you can just sit there and watch Jeopardy with your friend and eat off a TV tray?
Yes, that's where I'm headed.
That's a good life.
No, not bad. Not bad. I'm like, yeah, I guess I could do that. If that's where I'm headed, that's okay with me.
Well, one of the things I loved about that episode and about your kind of comedy and Jerry's as well is that you guys never run out of fascination with the world, with the way things happen. I mean, you are able to look at things and see them in a different way than the rest of us. You know,
yes.
And that's so commendable because you're the kind of guy who can find comedy in something that's so routine that the rest of us do every day and never think about.
Well, I mean, I appreciate it, but, you know, sometimes, not always. I mean, there are days that I can look around and find nothing funny anywhere. And there's nothing funny over there, and there's nothing funny over there. But every once in a while, you'll see something in a way that, like, hits you from a weird angle, and you go, hey, man, that can be a bit. That can be a joke.
I've never done comedy about my underwear. I've never thought, hey, underwear, funny.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I should get up on stage and entertain people with
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Never had that happen to me.
And that has happened to me, obviously, in my special Nunchucks and Flamethrowers. No, I talk about... how underwear, you know, like there's milestones in putting on weight. And I noticed there's little moments where you go, hey, that was a new thing. So it used to be I would put on my underwear and that was it. I would just get on with my day. Then you put on a few pounds, you put on your underwear, you bend over and your waistband flips down. And then you put on a few more pounds, you bend over, your waistband flips down, and when you stand back up, it flaps back into place. And then you put on a few more pounds, you bend over, your waistband flips down, and when you stand back up, it doesn't flap back into place. And then the last milestone is you put your underwear on, you don't even have to bend over, your waistband just flips down.
It's just giving up life.
Yeah, it's like, no, this doesn't work.
You've worked me too hard. I'm
me
done.
And your body, we don't work well together.
Let me, speaking of the special, let me play a clip. And it was very difficult because you're kind of a long-form comedian guy. It was very difficult to find a short clip to play. But I think this leads into a bit that gets funnier and funnier the longer it goes. But here's a little bit of Brian Regan from the new Netflix special, available everywhere on Tuesday.
You know what kills me? Post-game press conferences. They still haven't learned. You need to put a microphone on the people asking the questions. This drives me crazy. You have the table, you have the coach or the athlete sitting at the table behind a microphone. So they know about microphones. You're at home watching this waste of time. That was a coaching decision.
And by the way, you're so right, true. Brian. Like, how have they not figured that out, not only with the post-game press conferences, but in the White House briefing room?
Yes.
The exact same thing. You can never hear the reporter.
It drives me up a wall that they haven't figured this out. And they do it with police press conferences, which is also in the special. I say, when you have to hear what's going on because something's going down,
right.
No one's figured out, you need to mic the people asking the questions.
Please.
So you'll see, like, the police chief there, he's sweating. You're like, what's happening? And here's what you're taking in at home. We don't know how they're all escaping. Nunchucks and flamethrowers.
There it is.
Yeah. Yes, we think they're hiding in that neighborhood.
Now, you told us when you came in that you have two specials with Netflix, and the next one is 2019.
Correct.
And you made it sound like you're already sort of starting to worry about that.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean,
because that seems like forever from now.
Well, I mean, it'll come up quickly. You know, so that special that is coming out on
Tuesday,
right? I'm already working on moving away from that material. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't do it on a dime and then replacing it with a new hour, hopefully.
And how long does that take you? Because some comedians seem to be able to come up with it really quickly, and some say it is a year and a half process.
Yeah, usually for me it's a couple of years. But
wow.
When I've got the fire under me, like I've got a deadline coming up, so I like
you got
it.
That hot 2019 deadline.
Yes, that's right. I like it though. There's always three simultaneous goals.
Okay.
There's the new bits, mm-hmm. like so every bit. Is in a different stage of development. And then there's the five-minute things for TV spots,
mm-hmm.
Fallon or mm-hmm. Letterman, no longer. And then there's the hour goal. So you have new bits, you got five-minute spots, and you've got hours. So those are always happening at the same time. But to know that I've got an ultimate another hour coming up is always cool, you know, to know that I'm working towards something.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned, and I can't remember where I heard you talking about it, but you have seven brothers and sisters, right?
Yes, yes.
But only four occupations in the family.
That's right.
Which is so crazy.
Yes.
Run that down for me.
There are eight kids, like you said, two mm-hmm. comedians. My brother Dennis Regan, very funny comedian, wrote for The King of Queens. So there's two comedians, two firefighters. I have two brothers who are firefighters.
Okay.
Two school teachers.
Wow.
And two salesmen.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. And what's weird is I was telling one of my brothers that, going, hey, that's weird that, you know, we only have four occupations amongst eight siblings. And he's like, oh, I didn't even really realize that. And I'm like, how's that? How closely are you paying attention? How could you not have realized that?
We're in your family.
What's his job? Which one is he?
That was one of the firefighters.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
He's too busy fighting fires.
Yeah, sure. Being all the lives. Stuff.
Exactly. Deep sure. stuff like I think about.
Agreed.
Was there any competition between you and Dennis, both being funny people?
We don't. Maybe we're too lazy to have this sibling rivalry thing.
You just don't have the energy.
I don't have the energy to have any envy whatsoever. We are very supportive of each other. You know, I don't know how him doing well hurts me in any way and vice
right.
versa.
We find that's true of a lot of comedians, not just brothers, but comedians seem to root for each other. There are some that don't, but it does seem like everyone's
right.
happy to see somebody else do well.
Right. Like if somebody's going to get a spot on, you know, The Tonight Show or something like that, it isn't like, you know, like they're taking it away from you.
Right.
You know? It's like you get your turn.
Unless
your
you were scheduled and then they replaced
it away
directly.
From you.
Yeah. Exactly. Unless you were standing backstage behind the curtain.
Got the hook.
And then somebody came up and no. You're being bumped for this guy.
Then it hurts.
Then it hurts.
All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Brian. I'm sorry to say.
Well, thank you all very much for having me in.
It's always great to see you. And I'm so happy that things are going so well for you.
Thank you.
Wow. It really is. It's wonderful. And the special is very funny, you guys. Nunchucks and Flamethrowers. Get it on Tuesday. But, you know, once you're done with it, then you got to wait 14 months for the next one. So really enjoy it is what I'm saying.
Yes. Hey, thank you very much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Jim Rome next, talking sports on The Kevin and Bean Show. And speaking of sports, we've got yet another pair of tickets for you for the big game this Saturday at the Coliseum, Trojans versus Bruins. You can buy your tickets at usctrojans.com, or you can win it from The Kevin and Bean Show when you hear us playing some game tape. We've got some more classic big game tape. Anytime you hear it on the next couple of hours here on The Kevin and Bean Show, just be caller 20, and you win the tickets, and you qualify to win a customized K-Rock Irby. This is that, just call it a bicycle, Kevin? It's an electric vehicle, but it's bicycle-esque,
sort of like an electric
Those
bicycle.
Those who call it a bicycle would be ill-advised.
It's a little scootery, I guess. It goes pretty fast, though. I found out firsthand. A lot of people are very upset at me for ruining their Irby.
Well, they're giving that one away, that actual one away.
Yep.
It's a customized K-Rock
Irby.
Over
it.
So guys did say, is Kevin stank all over that?
Yes.
That's what I said. Be caller 20 when you hear some game audio from USC UCLA. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
The thing is, people can't really complain because it's a free prize.
Right.
They can't say, like, I want a discount because of Kevin's taint. There's no taint discount.
Taint? I mean, okay.
Just saying.
Right? And it's also the only one. It's not like we can swap it out for another one. That's the only one we have.
That's the only one there is.
Way to go.
They didn't tell me that before I took a few test rides on it.
One Yugi. So,
Irby.
Whatever. Yeah. This Sophia Richie-Scott Disick relationship, that's got to make Lionel Richie furious, right? It's got to make him just nuts.
Oh, I would think so.
Well, I think anyone whose daughter dates a Disick is going to be disappointed.
She's 19 years old, and Scott Disick, of course, is the legendary douchebag who got one of those Kardashians knocked up a bunch of times, and is just a drunk and a douchebag.
He's not the sock empire, though, right?
No, that's Rob.
Don't be ridiculous.
This guy, I don't know what he did. I think he sold used cars or something. I don't know what he did. Anyway, they're together, and they say the relationship is taking a very serious turn. He's in his 30s. She's 19. People say that they know that she's serious about him because she got a phone case that features her boyfriend's photo. So on the back of her phone now is a picture of Scott Disick. Who does that?
A 19-year-old.
No, even a 19-year-old can't be that awful.
Oh, you.
There's only one acceptable person you can have their photo turned into accessories and clothing, and that's your child. It's the only person you can carry around a picture of. No other adult human being should carry a picture of another adult human being as a watch or a phone case or a
display.
T-shirt or a pair of loafers or a hoodie. Nothing. Stop it.
What about a pet?
Oh, boy, you're pressing me here. But if I have to, I will give pet.
Okay.
The pet exception.
It is. It's
but for
it's
dogs
heinous,
only.
Heinous, but I'll let it be.
But okay. What about a celebrity, though? What if
you
want
to wear
a YouTube phone
stuff.
Case?
Yeah,
or
you can wear. Yeah, that's okay. Of course. If you want to get a Metallica watch or wallet or whatever.
I do.
You want a Metallica
yes,
watch?
Yes. Very much so. But
tell
it's so,
time Metallica.
It's that's only ever one. I don't know
you
why
just
I did
got
that.
Out of the file. Why do you want to go back in?
I don't know why I did that.
Burn the file. Start a new one.
I'm just saying no adult person should have pictures of their boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other crafted into accessories.
Having said that, it's better than the tattoo, which is always
oh, yes,
the worst
absolutely.
Mistake
of course,
that someone
yes.
can make.
That goes without saying.
Yeah.
But the Scott Disick phone case.
Yeah.
Come on, Sophia, you're better than that. Your dad, right? We play his song sometimes. Don't they play? We play his music from time to time.
Last one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Yeah, he gets more Richie. No, no.
You don't get to applaud yourself.
No.
Not me. Not me. It's the audience.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope. Bean has that sound effect just so everyone knows. That was false clapping for a terrible joke.
False clapping.
That's what it was.
Last one for Burtonsville from Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
That's the way it should have been.
That's right. Stony silence afterwards.
I don't like it. I didn't like it then. I don't really care for it now.
Okay. Right. You.
Same.
Hey, what'd you do to your noggin there, sport? I just noticed you got a giant scar inside your head there. It's a giant mark.
Climbing trees?
There's so you walk into another branch.
There's a tree that's about that.
It is
no,
not.
I was kidding. You're kidding.
It's about that height.
You didn't walk into a branch again.
No. Don't be ridiculous. I ran into it.
How many times now have you gotten head wounds from a branch?
From the same tree? Probably five or six.
This is crazy.
Yeah. It's not ideal. What are
you
How
are
do?
You not aware that you have a tree
a giant
on your
head.
Property?
Yeah, I know.
That wounds you.
I don't also hurt my butt as well, just for the record.
What? That's a hell of a tree.
My God.
Got all kinds of branches coming out of all.
Kev Dog.
Wow.
I was hoping no one would notice.
How did you not notice?
Yeah, it's pretty
looks like a gunshot wound.
It's not that bad.
Dave actually came in and
scratch.
Whispered in my ear, "What's with Kevin's face?"
It's just
I'm like, I don't know. He hasn't said anything, and I'm sad to ask.
I don't
him.
Think he was even talking about the.
He might not
my
have
face.
Been.
I think he was talking
Correct.
About my actual.
Yeah.
I was kidding in the room. I said maybe he walked into a branch again. Nuck, 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 nuck. I actually did. I did the elbow move. Nuck, 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 nuck. I actually did that. It was, to indicate a joke. And
Look.
It's actually what you
oh,
did.
Oh, wow.
Look, sometimes trees get cut back, and then they grow. Into my head.
But, you know, those
Do
of us who
work?
Have eyes say, oh, branch ahead. Avoidance.
You know,
engage.
Moving pretty fast.
And then, yeah, you are the Flash.
Thank you for noticing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Marg Helgenberger's 59 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 40, and Pete Davidson of SNL is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on every Thursday. At this time, we say hi to Jim Rome.
Jim Rome, jimrome.com. 3 hours of great sports talk radio from 9 a.m. till noon West Coast time. And, of course, the podcast with new content every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, including iTunes and Google Play. And a man who has never shoplifted in a foreign country. Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome Jim back to the program. How are you, sir?
Not once. Never have, never will.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Not that dumb. What's up, fam?
Jim, I've been dying all week long to get your take on this. We saw the tearful press conference yesterday where, to their credit, the three young men who play for UCLA basketball, they confessed, basically. They apologized. They took full responsibility for their actions. You don't usually see that. Usually there are a lot of excuses made. But the sentencing, a lot of people have questions about whether it was appropriate. Let's get your take on it.
All right. So in terms of the press conference itself, I thought they showed up pretty well. But again, the question always is, are they sorry they did it, or are they sorry for the situation they're in right now? They were coached up. They nailed that. In terms of the suspension, it's, quote, indefinite. And according to ESPN.com, UCLA officials are debating how long it should be. Personally, I would not be shocked if that suspension ended before this segment did. But there is some talk that maybe it's for the non-conference season. Maybe it's the entire year, which I think might be a little bit harsh. We don't know because it's hard to figure out what the punishment is that fits that particular crime. Now, I will say this, guys. This is key. I don't know about the rest of you. I am sick of this story. Yeah. I don't ever want to hear or talk about it ever again. But before we put this to bed, can we hit one last thing?
Sure.
A quick shout out to those idiots who showed up at LAX to meet these thieves. That literally was a low point for all of mankind.
There was a crowd there of people that were there to meet them?
Have you not seen this?
No.
A lot of people.
Lots of losers showed up for that.
Wow.
And it's not even on the players that shoplifted. It's on the losers that went there. I mean, you tell me. First of all, get some freaking pride. Have some self-respect. But who's the bigger loser? The college kid who was arrested for shoplifting in China, or the morons who rushed to LAX to get a pic or an autograph from the college kid who shoplifted in China? Tie for last.
Yeah, no kidding.
How do you not see that? You guys see this. This is unbelievable.
It is. I've seen the pictures, too. Do you think that because this was an international incident, literally the president had to get involved to get them sent home, do you think will affect the sentencing, that will affect the punishment, rather than if they had just been at the Macy's store in West L.A.?
Oh, yeah. They created an international incident. That's not like going to the Walmart down the street. Listen, college kids do dumb things. College kids shoplift, but they don't go to China and shoplift there. They don't shoplift in communist countries. So it's going to affect it. It's a terrible look and a terrible decision, and they've got to come down hard on them. And I think they will. I think they're going to miss probably half the season.
While we're talking about what a terrible week it's been for the big baller brand, what's going on with Lonzo, who does not exactly seem to be setting the Lakers' world on fire?
I can say what's going on with Lonzo. Dude can't shoot. Dude can't shoot at all. And not only is he bad, like, he's historically bad. It's been a long time since anybody started their career in that league shooting it as poorly as he has. I mean, this guy's going to kill somebody with that jump shot. So it's literally that bad. Now, the good news is other star players couldn't shoot it earlier in their careers either. Jason Kidd's perimeter game was garbage. He'll go down as one of the best ever. Russell Westbrook really couldn't shoot it initially. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. So guys have bounced back from crappy starts. But he is off to a really bad start shooting it.
And just remind me, he was the first overall pick taken by the Lakers,
second.
Right?
Second.
So we certainly did expect a lot. Now, is the coach making the right decision, resting him every fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the guy, you can't have him on the floor if he's that much of a liability. And I think that he wants, especially on a night like that. I mean, that was not his night. So he sat him down, except that's the second game in a row they sat him down in the fourth quarter. Mm. My point here is, I'm not saying that he's necessarily the next Jason Kidd or Russell Westbrook, but to throw dirt on this guy right now is still too soon. But he's going to have to start making shots at some point. I mean, I don't care how ugly that shot looks. And really, it is ass in that regard. It's an ugly, ugly shot. As long as it goes in, it'll be fine. But right now, it's not.
It looks like Tim Tebow throwing a pass, basically.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. It's a good analogy.
All right.
We're talking to our friend Jim Rome here on the Kevin and Bean Show, as we do on Thursday mornings. Let's turn our attention to the NFL for just a moment. There was a headline in the LA Times this week that went like this: surging Rams hope for more fan support at Coliseum. We talked at the beginning of the season with you, Jim, about how if the Rams win, the fans will come. So far, they're still not selling out the Coliseum. What's up?
Yeah, they've got to win more. I was back in New York over the weekend to appear on the NFL on CBS, and Boomer Esiason, who's a star in the business, and some of the others were saying to me, so, like, what's it like in L.A.? Is everybody hyped? Is everybody fired up? And I said, nah, not really. And they were incredulous, like, what's the matter with you people? Where's the passion? I said, look, we have passion, but not for a team that left for a long time and was really crappy last year. They're on the right track, but they have to keep doing it, and they have to do it longer than they have. In terms of passion, come on, y'all. We got passion. Passion for stuff that matters. Botox, getting our grills carved, what kind of a car we drive, what kind of a phone we have. You know, the important stuff. Pick me up, Allie. Am I right, Allie?
Hallelujah.
Right?
Preach. Give him an amen.
Preach, Jim. Preach. Listen, bottom line, if they keep playing the way they are, people will come because they're not just winning. They're winning a certain way. They've got a kick-ass offense, a defense that gets after the quarterback, and a heartthrob young head coach that Allie is thirsty for.
He's hot.
Right?
I mean, Chip.
Right?
Yeah. I'm saying.
The Rams are 27th in the league in average attendance. The Chargers are dead last. And Todd Gurley of the Rams says he thinks it's partly because of the traffic. Traffic for football games, getting in and out of a stadium, is always horrible. And a lot of people just aren't willing to put up with it yet.
Yeah. It's spoken like somebody who's never been in Los Angeles before. Look, if you live in L.A., we all factor this in. We all know that if we have somewhere to go, no matter where it is, factor in an hour or more. Believe me, they've shown up for the Dodgers. They've shown up for the Lakers. Traffic is not the reason. It's more that they won four games last year. You only get one chance to make that first impression, and their first impression was really bad, and that was after they blew out a long time ago. It's going to take a little more time. 7-2 is great.
I would think they would have to go really far in the playoffs this year, or it's going to be it's going to take two or three winning seasons to get people interested.
Yeah, it might. And then when they go into a new stadium, obviously that's going to be cool,
right?
Because we like things that are shiny. But in terms of the playoffs, I mean, they're in first place.
Right.
They can not only get there, they might make a deep run, and dare I say, this might be a Super Bowl team.
Oh!
Wow!
Fire!
It might be a Super Bowl team because the league is wide open right now. And
all
then
right.
People will come.
Yeah, no kidding. Final minute with Jim Rome. Josh Beckett, a name I hadn't heard in a couple years, former MLB player who was a superstar. Didn't he win a World Series with the Marlins? But he's back in the news right now.
Hell yes, he did. Former MLB hero Josh Beckett. And he's in the news because he got picked up for intoxication. You know, that's not the arrest per se. That could happen to any one of us. But dude bum-rushed a stage and laid out the singer of a country music band. And you got the way this guy did this, the TMZ picture is incredible. Like, he's fully horizontal like Superman flying through the air. Have you seen this?
It's so good.
So he tears homeboy's rotator cuff and he separates his shoulder. And best of all was the spin afterwards. He said he was stage diving. Bro, dive into the audience.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not to lead singer. No, he doesn't. And the lawyer said, quote, it was horseplay.
Wow.
That's not much of a defense.
Horseplay like I know it.
Horseplay is putting your friend in a headlock. This guy was looking to put that guy in a body bag.
Yeah.
And, of course, the mugshot was awesome. Not Nick Nolte awesome, but pretty freaking good.
I assume Mr. Beckett has a few bucks left in the bank that'll probably make this go away, though, right?
Well, he better. He said he'd make it right. And I'm going to say he's going to have to do probably a few hundred thousand things to make it right or more. Hey, real quick, you guys have a sound space stage, right? Have you ever seen anybody light a sucker up like that?
No.
No.
Why would anyone do that?
Yeah, you don't attack the band. Of course not.
So, I have no idea what set this guy off. Maybe he hates country music. Maybe he hates that guy. Maybe he was liquored up. Maybe all the above. But, dude, he laid this cat out.
That's the craziest thing.
It's great stuff.
Why couldn't it have been Sanchez?
Right?
Sanchez, are you in a country music band?
Hear the show from 9 till noon today at jimrome.com.
Josh Beckett hates you, Sanchez.
And, of course, you want to check out the podcast every Tuesday, available iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts as well. Great visit, as always, Mr. Rome. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, sir.
Bye, fam. See ya.
Appreciate it. All right. Tickets for U2. This is the U2 Experience. You get to listen to their new album before anyone else. It's called Songs of Experience, and you get to listen to it. I don't know, with the band.
That's pretty sweet.
Get to listen to it with you, too.
That's
the album
unreal.
Comes out everywhere December 1st. On the 27th, you get to be in a room with Bono, with The Edge, listening to the new record. Man, I hope you like it. Otherwise, it's going to be very awkward. So we're looking for hardcore U2 fans right now. If you want to play a game to win the tickets, call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do it next on K-Rock.
There's still time to change our minds.
If we want to
go to a different game to give away the tickets for the U2 Experience, because it's such a great prize, that to give it away this way...
I feel like they're earning it now more than ever.
Really a bad way to do it.
A pair of passes on the line to the exclusive pre-release listening party with U2 in support of their new album, Songs of Experience. You get to do this all on November 27th. The album comes out December 1st. Now, we've been privy to a couple of songs on the record. You're going to hear the whole record ahead of us if you are able to survive this game. And as Kevin pointed out, it's going to be tough, and it's going to be hard, and it's not going to be fun. But it's Kevin Blowhums the Hits.
Because you know he's all about that blow, no whistle, and all about that hum, no whistle. He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle, and that's why we play Kevin Blowhums the Hits.
So we found out when doing Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits that I can't whistle. So now we've built the game around that.
Well, because the sound that you make when you are trying to whistle, I think Ralph dubbed a blow hum, and that's that seems to fit perfectly. Why do you suppose it is you can't whistle?
I can't answer that, Bean.
Okay.
I can whistle loudly. I just can't whistle normally.
It's probably the same reason I can't blow a bubble with bubble gum. It's just you haven't figured out how to make your mouth do the right thing.
Hey, don't laugh at me. That's no worse than not being able to whistle.
Of course it is.
It's not at all.
You can't blow a bubble.
You can't whistle?
All right. So tomorrow, Bean blows a bubble for you, too.
See?
Great. All right, so call us around the line, Kevin. You are going to be trying to whistle, although it will come out as a blow hum. U2 songs that they know and love, all they have to do is identify them by title, and if they're right, they go into the drawing, and somebody at the end of it wins tickets to the U2 experience. Are we all on the same page here?
Yes.
All right, who's up first?
I'm going to do my best, people, but I'm sorry if I let you down. Jeff in Garden Grove, hi.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody.
All right, I'm going to try and whistle a U2 song, and then you're going to try and identify it.
And good luck to me.
And good luck to you especially. All right, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
What do you got there, Jeff?
What?
A Beautiful Day?
I mean, it was in the neighborhood.
I felt like it was in the neighborhood.
It was
for me, it's good.
It was adjacent.
It was adjacent, yeah. It wasn't knocking on the door or anything, but it was driving by on the street over.
It was waving.
It was a street over if you had a car. Carol in Los Angeles, hi.
Hi.
All right, I'm going to do my best. Good luck.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Right?
I got. No. I'm looking at it. I got nothing.
What do you mean?
I got nothing. I'm sorry, Carol. You're a better man than I. If you can identify that U2 song.
Oh my God. Desire.
Oh yes. My God! Yeah. You know why? Because that's what it sounded like. Nice work, Carol.
Wow. Carol is a miracle. She speaks Kevin. She speaks Kevin.
That speaks my whistle.
Kevin, that blew your mind too. Come on.
I thought it sounded like that song.
Did you now?
I really did.
That's sweet.
That's sweet, I know. Monica in Eagle Rock, hi.
Hi.
How long have you been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show?
I've been listening since Richard Blade days.
Wow.
Okay. Is this the worst segment you've ever heard?
It's not the best. I wish I got in yesterday. I had better luck with the Bono and...
Right. Bono. So should we discontinue doing this game? We should discontinue it. Correct.
No. I think Monica wants a chance to win.
That'd be great.
Go back now.
Too late. We're pretty deep into it. Listen up, Kevin. Right. Blowhums the Hits.
Hold on. Let me get.
Okay, let's drink it some water.
Do really, really well, Kevin. I love you too.
Okay.
And yes, the band.
All right. And yes, the band. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Right?
Is that where the streets have no name?
Beautiful day.
That was Beautiful Day.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Monica. Try again tomorrow.
I thought that sounded like it, you guys.
I just keep thinking the poor sound is going off the air today, and we're still allowed to broadcast. I mean,
what kind of choices are being made? So this is on you. Let's go to Phil in Temple City. Hi, Phil.
Hey, guys.
All right, you ready?
I think so. This is a really tough game.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, here we go.
Oh. doing number four? Okay.
What do you think, Phil?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair for Allie to ask me if I'm doing number four in the middle of it.
I mean, okay, I did interrupt. Just do the last line.
Okay. No, I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
He doesn't get that. He's not a YouTube fan.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
All right.
I know we're running late.
I did interrupt, so I apologize, Phil, but I'm glad you got that.
I insist we do one more just because Jennifer is in class with her students waiting to get her shot on the air to win these YouTube.
She's going to have to get through me. All right, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Good morning,
guys. How are you? I love you, but wow, this is super difficult.
I know.
It's tough.
This is not my idea of a game. I'm just putting that out there.
All right, good luck, Jennifer.
All right. Stuff, Kevin.
All right, we're pulling for you. Here we go.
Right?
The man is trying to whistle for folks just to
right?
Resist, by the way.
Can you keep going? Can I get a little more? It's such good stuff.
Wait, don't
she
make
said
it up.
Sarcastically.
She almost.
All right, that's all we can take, Jennifer. I'm sorry. We're going to need a guess.
I don't know.
Take a guess.
That we did with the streets have no name, with or without you. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
It was one. I'm sorry, Jennifer. Apologies to your class, too. Phil and Carol, both in the drawing. Only one will get to sit with the band and listen to the brand new record. Who's it going to be, Miss Allie McCain?
The winner is Carol.
Carol. Yeah! I don't know how you did it, Carol, but congratulations. You get to listen to the album Songs of Experience. With the band, and thanks for playing the game.
He's all about the blow and the hum, no whistle. And that's why we play Kevin Blow Hums the Hit.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
All right, we're going to do it up again, you guys.
Yeah.
More tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 coming up December 10th at the Forum. This time it's going to be night number two. We'll give you those tickets in 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now, you can win your acoustic Christmas tickets. So stand by for that. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Here's Kevin's people in the news. Group of tourists got in trouble in Kazakhstan because they decided to be hilarious to pay tribute to Kazakhstan's most famous citizen, Borat.
Borat, yeah.
Borat. I like. Six tourists from the Czech Republic decided to strip down to their bright green mankini thong swimsuits that they're wearing. You may remember that Sacha Baron Cohen's character Borat wore that mankini in the film. Mm-hmm. So they're wearing nothing but that, and they started parading around the capital city of Astana.
That sounds hilarious to me.
Yeah, well, local police did not find it so funny, arrested the group, and issued them each a $68 citation, which in Kazakhstan is equivalent of 2 years' salary.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, that's...
Yeah, they low make wages $38 there. A year.
Low wages.
How do you plan to repay the loan?
I will let you use my sister for 6 months.
I mean, come on.
It's so good.
Does that movie hold up, you guys?
Yes!
Borat Lili.
The Ministry of Information decided to make this film about America because we want to be like you. America have most beautiful women in world. For example, Liza Minnelli and Elizabeth Taylor. It also center for democracy and porno. A lie.
They were charged with committing minor hooliganism. That's
what
their charges were. Minor hooliganism. And then released on their own recognizance after they were fined. $68, which, by the way, is twice the annual salary.
I've heard that. I heard a guy say that once on the radio.
Of a Kazakhstan citizen.
I doubt it, though, because it sounds shaky.
No, some people
how they live on so little money.
Immediately, some people just jumped to shock.
It struck me as low.
Your favorite? My preference, dog style.
I like.
Yes. I like.
Remember when everybody was saying that all the time after that movie came out?
That was annoying, but the movie was great.
Yes.
Well, that's why I ask if it holds up, because a lot of times those white-hot pop culture moments, like an Austin Powers movie comes on now, and it just seems so dated to me that I kind of can't, like, enjoy it again.
By the way, Austin Powers is still funny.
Is it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember just because you get burnt out because people start walking around going, "Hey, behave," that gets old, but the film itself is still good.
Did you see Borat?
I'm guessing no.
I may have.
It's so not a Bean movie.
He didn't see. What were we thinking? Of course he didn't see.
So you didn't see when he walked into the pastor's house to have dinner and went to the bathroom and then bagged his poo
and brought it back to the table.
And brought it back out. I mean, that never goes out of style.
Okay. All right. Yeah, asked and answered.
How about Titanic? Is that a movie anybody wants to see again?
Didn't see it the first time.
What? What?
I know.
I thought you were a lady.
I knew how it ended.
But still.
Yeah. It just didn't interest me.
It's a love story of all time.
106 times.
Right? Fabulous movie.
Freaking Titanic, nothing.
I also hate that movie.
You hate Titanic? How can you hate Titanic?
It's so well done.
Yeah, it's true. At least she's
seen
it.
We should give back our vaginas, Chip. We shouldn't be allowed to keep them.
No, but
not
the reason,
like I'm using my.
The reason
me.
I'm surprised, guys, is because by any standard, it was it a Best Picture Oscar nominee and perhaps winner, I don't remember. But, I mean, by any standard, it was a great movie with great acting and a great script and great action and great direction. And, I mean, what's not to like about it?
They just seemed cold and it was just so wet. Like, oh, God, no. Thank you.
Shouldn't like the weather of the
film. Yeah, just, ugh.
The temperature and the moistness.
And especially the moistness at the end.
Too moist.
Yeah, it was pretty moist.
That whole thing, the whole water thing was very moist.
They died from moistness.
Stop it. Well, I'm sorry they didn't rewrite it for you, Allie, so that they just took the Titanic out for a sunny afternoon and then returned to port and everyone was fine.
I'd watch it.
It's celebrating its 20th anniversary, by the way. The film will be shown both in 2D and 3D for 1 week only. And tickets for the film, which will be shown in select AMC theaters, go on sale today. So if you're interested, you can check that out.
Do you remember this scene?
I like play table tennis. I like shoot dog.
Right? Those are fun sports. Doesn't seem like it's for me. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I knew when he was bad mouthed. I was just thought. There's never bad mouthed.
There's hold on a second.
You should have realized.
I never bad mouthed.
Really, though. Does it hold up?
But it occurred to me as we were having that conversation that you would never have seen.
No.
I was just asking if it's the type of thing that is just stuck in its time and place, or is it forever? Is it a comedy that people will enjoy in 10 years and in 20 years?
Funny is funny.
Sounds like you guys are saying it remains funny.
Funny is funny is funny.
It'll be funny forever.
I'll go that far.
Titanic, though, hilarious, right?
Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Mark Helgenberger's 59 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal celebrates her 40th birthday. And Pete Davidson of SNL is 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Can we follow her and maybe make a sexy time with her? No. Why not?
Because a woman has a right to choose who she has sex with.
What?
How about that? That's good, huh?
It's not good for me.
Right, maybe that was the wrong clip to play right now.
That was very timely, Kevin. Good work.
We have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Night number 2. You're going to have to play a game, but if you would like to win those tickets, call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game.
About 3 weeks from right now, you're going to be at the Forum for night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and you're going to be seeing Morrissey and the Killers and the Lumineers and Foster the People and Phoenix and Walk the Moon and Franz Ferdinand and Ex-Ambassadors and Vance Joy. And, oh, yes, a little band called Weezer. And we got a whole bunch of Weezer fans on the line right now, Kevin. It's time to play Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So this is going to be Dave versus Allie. Allie, you've won, what, about 100 times in a row playing this game?
I think so.
Seems like that.
Oh. I'm sorry, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. Hello.
Like it makes a difference, really, in this game.
Testies, 1, 2, 3.
Kevin, you want to explain how the game is played for those on the phone?
Yes. Dave is going to give you clues. Allie's going to give you clues to the song titles for Weezer. They can't use any of the words, though, that are in the song titles. So they have to use other words to get you to say
a Weezer song title. And then you have 45 seconds. You have five song titles. If you are stuck on one, you can pass and go back to it if you've already got enough and you still have time left over.
All right. Now, if we haven't made it clear, Dave is really bad at this game. But
I have one loss.
We do give the contestants the opportunity to pick their partner. And I think we go to Elliot first. He's on line five. He's in Lakewood. Elliot, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Hey, party people. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
It's a title fight time. Would you like your partner to be Dave or Allie?
I think I'm going to go with Allie.
I think that's an excellent choice. All right. Any
questions?
Any questions about how I apologize?
Ever, right?
I do apologize to my colleagues.
You poor bastard.
Oh, sorry.
Any questions about how the game is played before we hit the button for 45 seconds?
No. I think I know what's going on.
All right.
Good luck. Sounds like a cool game.
And go.
This is a meal. It comes from a pig.
Pork and beans.
Yes. This is an ideal thing. When someone is this, they look great. They're wonderful. They're... All right, we'll skip it. Rodeo Drive is where?
Beverly Hills.
Yes. When somebody's always up to no good, just shenanigans, what are they?
I might have to pass on that one.
Okay. Cocaine, weed, ecstasy, those are all... in college. Okay.
He said it.
Wow.
Okay. So the one you were having the trouble with there about everything being excellent and wonderful and good looking was
perfect situation
we were looking for.
Yeah, that was tough. And the shenanigans and always up to no good, that was a troublemaker.
Troublemaker. All right. But you got three, though. That's probably enough. Usually anyone who's partnered with Dave doesn't get anywhere close to three. So hang on, Elliot. You're still in the running here. Let's meet your competitor, shall we?
Furman in Linwood. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Furman. You're a rat.
No, that's Vermin.
Vermin.
That's Vermin.
Oh. Come on, Dave. Sweet spirit.
Yeah. You're supposed to be on the same team. Furman, what did you think about how Elliot and Allie did? What did you think about their performance? That's what you got to beat.
I mean, that was tough. I think we could do better, Dave.
All right, let's do it. Furman,
good luck.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
And go. All right. The Earth is... What's the Earth? What's my nickname?
King of Mexico?
Yep. And now, so that's one word, king. And now you have the earth.
Globe? Earth?
Yeah, another word for the earth.
Pass.
We live in it. Come on. All right. winter, fall. Come on, you touch it.
Feels like summer.
Yep. All right. You smoke out of this.
Hatch
pipe. All right. This dude died in a plane crash.
Buddy Holly.
All right. If you wear this. You wear it.
Wow. That was a huge comeback.
That really was.
Because, Dave, Furman, you were awesome. Awful.
Because you wasted the first 30 seconds.
Oh. No way.
No, you're right, great, so, Dave.
My nickname, the Earth, the World. Come on.
King of the World we were looking for. All right. What's help me out. Help me understand the game here. So we're tied 3-3. Now what?
Now we do a tiebreaker.
I think they both go, right?
Isn't that nope.
Oh.
We do a tiebreaker, which is one title.
Look at I'm throwing
and we go
away.
For time.
All right. So you got to be the fastest to get your one title, right? That's what we do. So do we stick with Vermin since we've already got him?
We're going back to Elliot.
Going back to Elliot.
Elliot. Okay. All right. Elliot has not looked at it yet, but we're one title. Are you ready, Elliot? We're going for time.
Okay.
And go.
When something's not true. When you need to put a button back on a shirt, you use a thread and a needle. What? That's the last word. You are doing what with the thread and needle to put a button back on?
Sewing?
Yes. That's one of the words. Yes.
All right. How far into the 45 seconds were we?
25.5 seconds.
That's a really hard freaking song
that
for a tiebreaker.
That is a very hard one, yes.
You shouldn't, have said you shouldn't have said the time.
Oh, why don't you just not tell her what to do?
No, because it would have been awesome, like, great to see who we could have went and said, all right, with this time, and then this time.
Nope. Yeah.
Can hey, Furman.
Give it to Elliot just because
don't
Dave's
you guys
in...
know how to freaking run a contest? Build some suspense?
Are you ready, Furman?
All right, let's do this, Furman. Yeah, let's win.
All right. And go.
All right. Not the front, but...
back.
Yep, and the shake finishes the line. Shake.
Back to the shack.
Yep.
Yes.
Boom.
Ah.
Yeah.
Who's
seconds.
The man with the master plan? Furman and Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate you as a winner.
I'm sorry, Elliot.
that was fun.
Elliot, sorry. That was you played well.
No, he didn't.
I played better.
Okay.
Okay. All right. No, he didn't. Oh, Furman's well. A man.
I'm all happy right, for man. Furman. Furman, but yeah. God, I hate you, Dave.
That's okay. Man.
You're going to see Weezer sing all those songs you know, along with the rest of the lineup for the sold-out night number two of the K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2017, December 10th at the Forum. Well done. Congratulations, Furman. Thank you for listening. Thank you for playing. This has been Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
We always look forward to catching up with our good friend Dr. Drew, drdrew.com. With so many great things going on and some not-so-great things going on in the news, it's always nice to have an adult in the conversation. How are you, Doc?
I appreciate that, Bean. I'm fine.
Well, thank you. Listen, Louis C.K. and Harvey Weinstein are two of the men that have been in the news a lot lately for a very specialized form of sexual assault and harassment, and that is masturbation in front of an unwilling participant. And that is, like I said, it's a very specific thing. They're not trying to do something to them except emotionally, and we wanted to kind of break that down and figure out why men do this, Doctor.
It's interesting, Bean, just even the way you framed this question. I think we're all becoming aware, because of these horrible stories that are breaking into the news, of the full spectrum of the male's potential and some of the bizarre behavior that many of our compatriots engage in. And this is one of them, and it's very hard to understand why it is even sexual to these guys, right? I mean, to an average heterosexual male, you think about that behavior, and it just seems sort of confusing, probably as confusing to most men as it is
yeah.
to the women that were the object of this.
Yeah, why?
Well, I've never treated these guys, but I know people that do, and I've had long conversations with some of these professionals. I talked to Alexander Katahakis at the Center for Healthy Sex on a regular basis, and she was telling me that when she, and this is not an uncommon behavior in her work, and that these are all guys that are very focused on power and control, and at many times in their lives, like when they're little boys, they felt humiliated, they felt abused, they felt small. They felt small. So they spent the rest of their life building themselves up. Sound familiar? It's a form of narcissism, right? So they build this big front and this big world around them of power and control, and they need more and more and more in their workplace. But then when it comes to their interpersonal conduct, this is how that sometimes expresses itself. So it really, it's a kind of an exhibitionism. I think I read some articles yesterday where they were making a lot of it as an exhibitionistic behavior. It is, in the sense that they're going for shock and control over that person. They don't want real contact, but it's a bit more.
Is it sexual or is it just power?
Well, as Adam Kroll always said, is not sexual. It's not sexual, except you have an orgasm at the end. Anyway.
Yeah. So, that is confusing.
It is confusing because it's not sexual for us. And for them, it has a sexual connection.
It does.
And to some extent, it's also an expression of aggression, isn't it? And aggression is tied into sexuality sometimes, particularly for certain kinds of people. So it's power, control, it's wanting to shock and humiliate. And then it's a kind of an aggressive act. And particularly Weinstein seemed to be on the more aggressive spectrum, where he would literally, you know, corner somebody, and it's in the form of assault. In
yeah.
Louis' case, he would ask politely for permission to assault them. And, you know, and of course, because they have empathic failure also, they don't understand that the women have no idea what they're talking about, why they would do this, and are deeply confused. On top of that, women have a very characteristic response to these sorts of ill-defined circumstances, which is A, they freeze, B, they try to make sense of it, as anybody would. Those are sort of normal reactions.
Right.
But women have a very special gear they kick into, which really kind of breaks my heart every time I hear it. And Lauren Savant, who was Harvey Weinstein's object of affection, described this to me in detail. Women go into this mode, and I think, Allie, we talked about this once before, mm-hmm. of blaming themselves. How did I do this? I got into this situation. What did I do to get here? And some of that shame that they take on is part of the reason they keep quiet.
And another thing that I have found with womankind, we don't want you to be embarrassed. We don't want to be like, no, don't do that, because that will embarrass you. Oh, no, we don't want it.
Even at that level?
It's so ingrained, and it's so what we've been told our whole lives.
I would argue it's so present and profound. I mean, I spent a lifetime, you know, raising a daughter not to feel that way. She still kicks into it. So
absolutely,
it has to be something in your biology related to child rear or caretaking or something that you immediately go into caretaking mode in intense situations.
Yeah.
Even when the object of the aggression is the person that's evoking all these horrible feelings, you caretake them.
It's which because women are better. I mean,
they
if
are
we
better.
Just
they,
say
they
it.
Are better, but they are
women
not
are
better.
Better.
They're not better for themselves necessarily.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, they are better. And just like, you know, men have all kinds of horrible impulses that, you know, they don't express necessarily. Women need to, what we need to do is coach women to identify these natural biologies and then figure out strategies so they don't kick into them so readily, as opposed to blaming society. That's a huge mistake to go, well, the world's created this. No, no, no. It's something in me, and I'm gonna do something to make sure that doesn't kick in next time I'm in a situation like that.
Dr. Drew, is there not much difference between a successful, rich, famous person like Louis C.K., you know, pulling it out and going to town in front of a woman in a hotel room, and the bum who's just dropping his pants on the I-10 freeway so everybody can see? They're kind of both doing the same thing, right?
It's related but different. That's right. It's still power and control, but the exhibitionists are really going for shock. They get off on the shock part. The power and control guys are really more in the humiliation zone. They're more want to, you know, to dominate rather than just the shock. I'm not sure gets them so much.
So women freeze and then, strangely and crazy good in a good way, take care of that person. How should they react?
They should kick them in the nuts.
Kick them in the nuts.
Kick them in the nuts, says the doctor.
I mean, because that's what I'm back to Lauren, who I've talked to. She really helped me. I mean, this is all an exercise in empathy for all of us, you know, to really examine what these women experience and deeply appreciate what that is. And Lauren was telling me that all the men that she talks to, why didn't you fight? Why didn't you kick them in the nuts? This kind of thing. And it's not a natural impulse. For a male, it might be, but she's going through all these freeze, confusions, blaming. All those mechanisms are well ahead of the aggression.
Got it.
So we need to get women at least able to think about going, not worrying about embarrassing or shaming somebody, and physically immediately protecting themselves.
You know, it would be helpful if instead of getting women to change, we got men to stop doing it in the first place.
What? Are you what
is crazy?
Nuts,
Alex. You are crazy.
That's insane.
Seriously, dude, stop it.
No kidding. No kidding.
All right, listen, Dr. Drew, the dominoes are falling. It seems like every single day there's another Ed Westwick or Al Franken in the news. Can you just promise us right now that you're going to be still standing at the end of all of this?
I know of nothing. We all have to search our memory banks for things we may or may not have done. I believe I've treated women respectfully.
You think you're cool. Okay.
I want to think I did. If I did not, here's what the fantasy I played out of my own head. If somebody comes forward and says I didn't, whatever, treat somebody respectfully, I'd think like that would just... I'd be so sorry. I'd be so hurt. It's like, gee, I liked you. What did I do? I'm sorry. Maybe I can do better. To me, it'd be confusing if somebody accused me of something. And so I hope I've conducted myself.
All right. And same question for Bean. Are you going to be standing at the end of it?
I hope so. Man, I sure hope so.
Oh, God, you guys.
DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all of Dr. Drew's live appearances and his fine family of podcasts, including his own. Also, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast and the weekly infusion. Don't forget, you can hear the doc with Mike Catherwood on a very popular radio station today, 790 KABC from noon till 3. And don't forget to get the Heal app to get a doctor to visit you in the comfort of your own home. Great chat, Doc. We appreciate your insight as always. We'll do it again next week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
We just gave away another pair of tickets for the Trojans versus the Bruins, the big game Saturday at the LA Memorial Coliseum. My computer is choosing to do its Windows updates right now, Kevin, so I do not have the name available.
It would be Steve Simonian from Azusa.
Thank you, Steve, for listening. You are also qualified to win the custom K-Rock Irby, which, by the way, people are going crazy for. They actually have a store for it, and they're actually creating places to park these Irbys. They're so popular on campus right now. It's a portable electric vehicle. It's the coolest thing.
It's pretty fast, too.
And it's a one-of-a-kind. Kevin has taken it all around the parking lot.
Yeah,
so
it's one-of-a-kind now because somebody's taint's all over it. That's why.
Congratulations. Right? You're in the running to win that as well. And we got
special
more tickets for you.
Taint edition.
Tomorrow right here on K-Rock. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to give something away. I got a spot. Play a little poker.
I used to say the best kind of store in the neighborhood, right? It was a liquor store and they were gambling in the back?
Nope.
Liquor in the front, poker in the rear. So they used to say.
Did they say that?
About that old liquor store in my neighborhood. And those guys were playing their cards in the back room.
Yeah, congrats on that.
Thanks. Beer Mug's going to be playing some poker at the Bike.
Yay!
The Bike Hotel and Casino, the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. Go to thebike.com for more details. You can even RSVP for a spot to play poker with the guys tomorrow night. Or you can win a spot to play at Beer Mug's table, which is like just taking candy from baby.
I like a lot of things.
Right?
A lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you can distract him with almost anything, and then you could look at his cards. He wouldn't even know.
That's true.
And then you win.
This is the end of the night.
Dude, this is a new level for the Mugs. This is a mess.
I've been to a lot of these guys' night outs, and tomorrow night will be the same.
I'm all in. That's the first hand he's going to do that. Listen, you get a rack of chips worth $200 as well. It's going to be a blast. It's guys' night out, so just the guys. Leave your ladies at home.
Nope, girls are welcome.
The guys.
Women are welcome.
K-Rock's guys' night out.
Girls are welcome as well.
Anyone right there in the title. It would put that in the title,
I'm
sure.
You're correct that it makes no sense. But
they would say, hey, cats and kittens.
I don't think they would ever say that. I don't think that's something that would ever be said.
Yeah, it's guys and girls.
Guys and girls.
We kid. But, of course, everyone is welcome. It is tomorrow night again at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. So if you want to play a Beer Mug's table, call now. Caller number 21, because you've got to be 21 years of age or older to win this prize. So caller number 21 will win this grand prize for guys' night out.
Where can people go to get information and be... You know, turn the ignorance around.
I told you, thebike.com.
Wow. Awesome.
Thank you. Dave Grohl's the best.
Yeah.
End of story.
Guns N' Roses concert on Tuesday night in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They launch into Paradise City. Who walks out on stage with guitar and decides, oh, just to jam with the band? A guy named Dave Grohl.
It's funny. He could walk out on stage with any musician anywhere and everybody would be excited to see him.
Yeah. Foos were in town to play that same venue the next night, so they showed up early and they decided to hang. Great thing about Dave Grohl's too, you're welcome. Every band would welcome you to their stage and
sure.
to their situation. They would love to have you there and take part. You're always a surprise guest that people welcome on both sides of the stage.
Hey guys, help me understand this, because I'm sure at one time I knew why there was a Nirvana Guns N' Roses feud. But apparently that's part of the reason why this was a little bit unexpected, is because those bands traditionally did not get along. What was the problem back in the day between those two groups?
No idea.
Got nothing for you.
Allie, anything?
No.
I wasn't even familiar there was a feud.
There apparently was a feud, and now obviously it's all patched up. But
all right. Okay.
Good stuff.
Good chat, everyone.
Kevin
if anyone
show.
Knows, give a call right now. 1-800-5-
Nope.
Nope.
Kevin Beach Show, providing more questions than answers since 1990.
Why do some people tune out?
Yeah, I wonder why.
Well, they were both very popular at the same time.
Right, we got it, but no one knows.
We
stop
understand
asking.
What you said, right. But you offer us nothing.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. That's why I was asking.
Maybe because Guns N' Roses was more rock instead of grunge, and they were like, hey, man, we rule this town.
We like our hair long and our top hats big.
Yeah.
Not like you with your flannel.
I bet that was
That's
it.
Probably pretty accurate.
Flannel versus top hats?
Yes.
That's probably pretty accurate.
Sure. Oh.
All right, here we
all
go.
Those top hats. Bandanas versus beanies.
Guns N' Roses versus Nirvana, a beef history in Rolling Stone. Apparently, at one point, Kurt Cobain said that Guns N' Roses is the type of music they are standing up against.
Oh.
So apparently, it sounds like a name checked them with the kind of music that they were doing versus what Nirvana wanted to do. So there we go. They're the type of band that has absolutely nothing to say.
Yeah.
That's where it started, all right.
What's going on?
Bean wants to do his own shows so desperately. He just ignores us all and just goes about his business, doesn't he?
Well, I felt bad that I brought up the question that kind of ground the show to a halt, and then I thought I owed an answer.
You thought you'd read from the internet for people
entertainment. I was trying to provide some sort of closure on that question.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
I mean, you said it was a beef history. That was just one thing.
That's,
it had
I don't
to be
want to
don't invite him to say more.
Stop it, Allie.
What's wrong with you?
No.
Yes, stop it. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Come on now.
Ooh, 1992. Axel calls Kurt and.
Oh, we lost. lost him?
We lost him.
No.
Shane,
that line dropped.
It sounded like it was really going to be interesting,
weird.
Too.
The line just dropped. That's so strange. See, yeah, sometimes squirrels will gnaw through it.
Right.
We
got
to go in and get some electrical tape and patch that line back up.
It does
up.
Happen.
So we'll check that out. Here's a pretty cool thing. How would you like to be a stormtrooper? Apparently, it's a thing they're just letting people be these days. Star Wars The Last Jedi opens a month from now, and it leaked out yesterday that Prince William and Prince Harry, who visited Pinewood Studios in April of last year, climbed into a couple of stormtrooper outfits, and they're going to be stormtroopers in Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Luck out.
They're in a scene with two...
No one says luck out, no first of all.
They're in a scene with two other guys that director said, yeah, why don't you guys hop in the scene? Here's some stormtrooper armor. Tom Hardy... And the singer from Take That, Gary Barlow,
are
also
on.
Visiting through them in some Stormtrooper gear as well.
Imagine once the word gets out how many people are now going to ask to be Stormtroopers.
Apparently that's a thing.
Wow.
When J.J. was doing his Star Wars film, the first one of the sequels, Kevin and I were over in England.
I was not.
Not this Kevin.
Oh.
Kevin Smith. We were doing Hollywood Babylon in London, and so JJ invited Kevin to go visit the set, and I was left behind. No bitterness. And while he was there, JJ said to him, why don't you voice a stormtrooper? So Kevin's voice is in that film. He's
awesome.
The voice of one of the stormtroopers. So it's a thing, like, dude, it's like a little parting gift. You get to be a stormtrooper in that show. But there are other, with last film, Daniel Craig was the stormtrooper
that
was guarding Ren. Daisy Ridley's character.
Ray.
She's guarding Ray in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So they do that quite a bit. And this, apparently, the four of these guys will be seen guarding John Boyega's character, Finn.
I'd guard him.
In the film. They're all in an elevator together. So when you see those four stormtroopers guarding Finn in the elevator, now you know who it is.
If there was a stormtrooper list, how low would we be?
Oh, we're never going to stop.
Okay, I just wanted to see.
I was a stormtrooper.
Throw it out there.
I was a stormtrooper.
You were?
Not in
yes.
a Star Wars movie.
In Ted,
in
right?
In Ted 2, the sequel to Ted 2. When Ted shows up at the New York Comic Con, I am walking across the street with Darth Vader and Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I yell.
It's Bobby!
It wasn't Bobby.
It was
a stormtrooper.
Okay. Sorry.
And I yell at Big Eyes, pretty girl, Mamma Mia. Come on.
Amanda
Seyfried?
Amanda Seyfried.
Okay.
It's Morgan!
No, it's not Morgan either. So I yell at her for being a bad driver in that scene. So I'm in a stormtrooper outfit. So technically, I am.
All right. You win.
Yeah.
I bet you
get
to be
accused of telling bad stories.
That was a good story, by the way. That's the difference. Yours was bad. Ralph was a stormtrooper in a movie. His was good.
Let me read from you from the history of stormtroopers from my Wikipedia page. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mark Helgenberger is 59 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal turns 40, and Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live's whining department. He is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Help tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We got the movie beat because it's Friday. We talked to RJ Bell with his picks for Week 11 of the NFL. We've got Keep It 100. We've got your U2 experience tickets, and we've got your tickets for the sold out K Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well. We'll see you tomorrow.